to get back to the playoffs because they were just there. And they traded with the Eagles.
You're listening to KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country. Following is a KVON Sports presentation.
It's high school football coming to you from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, as the Vintage Crushers have their home opener tonight, entertaining the Akalani's Dons from Lafayette. It's high school football. And good evening, everyone, and welcome in to another sports presentation on KVON Radio, brought to you by our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we're joined tonight with Kent Fry, handling color commentary, and just a beautiful night for football.
Absolutely, Ira. It's a gorgeous night, little brisk wind, but it's football weather. Fall has come early today, this season here, Ira, so... First game at the stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And Dino Alessio is our statistician back with us this season. Dino, a lot's going to happen as far as tonight's action with one team, a strong passing team, the other, a strong rushing team.
Yep, Ira, I'm looking forward to it immensely. I've got a bunch of sharpened pencils here ready to go, and I'm ready to keep track of a lot of yardage and probably quite a few touchdowns by these two teams.
And we have a new engineer this season handling the controls back at the KVON studio is Angelo Lyons.
All right, Angelo. Another shout out to Angelo. Did a great job last week on his first broadcast down there at American Canyon.
He had been an intern with the radio station and now is part of the staff here at KVON KVYN. What a game the JV action has been here at Memorial Stadium tonight. It's been a very competitive game from the outset. Right now, they're in the fourth quarter of the JV action with just under 4 minutes to go, and the Vintage Crushers are leading Akalani's 27-18. It was just a little closer than that just a little while ago. The Crushers got a touchdown. And that helped them move ahead by 9 points as the ball is down in the Crusher territory at about the 26-yard line. We'll be telling you about these teams as we progress through the final 4 minutes here. Last week, the Akalani's JV team defeated Las Lomas 55-6. But they came into tonight's game with only 19 players suited up.
Well, I tell you what, Ira, they got a quarterback who can throw the ball, can scramble, and he's got a nice arm back there. From here, he looks like, you know, just under 6 feet, maybe 6 feet, but he's a JV kid.
He drops back, fires out in the right flat area, and it's incomplete. They were looking at a second down and 10 yards to go at the Crusher 26-yard line. This is a little bonus coverage of the JV action. The Vintage JVs last week defeated Will C. Wood 34-7. So we had two teams coming into tonight's game, both of whom had outstanding opening games last week.
Absolutely, and it's a fun battle to watch here as they're battling down to the final minute here with 3.5 to go.
Double wideouts. Quarterback drops back to pass. Down over in the left flat area, going downfield, and the pass thrown incomplete. That'll bring up fourth down. 3:44 remaining here at Memorial Stadium in JV football action. The game was delayed somewhat due to an injury just prior to halftime. With about a half a minute to go, one of the players from Akalani's, they're called the Akalani's Dons, was injured, and they had to call in the paramedics for that.
Well, Ira, that's, you know, Napa's been very fortunate to have the paramedics at the games.
There is a pass toward the end zone, and it is intercepted Going up for the Crushers and coming down with the ball is Reed McCaffrey. He's one of the four captains for the Crusher JVs tonight. And he made the interception in the end zone. But when he started to run it out, he was tackled right at the one-yard line.
Yeah, great play by Reed, though. You know, the ball kind of floated against the wind there and held up. And he stopped before the receiver saw. He knew it was going to be underthrown and went up for the jump ball, got it at its highest point, brought it down, and should secure the victory. I shouldn't say that, but Vintage just needs to keep this ball on the ground, maybe get one first down here, Ira, and secure the victory.
Earlier in this second half, the Crushers were down at the one-yard line, inside the one-yard line, actually, of Alkaline. We'll tell you about that in a moment. But in the meantime, let's check this first play from scrimmage. The quarterback keeps the ball, tries to angle off of his right tackle and gets out maybe a yard or two. But the Crushers needed just inches to get into the end zone. As it was fourth down and inches to go for the touchdown, they did not make it. And on the very next play, on first down for Akalanis, they had a 99-yard pass play for a touchdown.
Yeah, we have an injured player down here, Ira. So another, I don't know if the paramedics would be coming out on this one or not.
This time it's one of the Vintage players. What happened on that sequence just prior to halftime in the JV action? Two of the defensive players from Akalanis collided and went down. And one of them apparently had injured his neck. And that caused the paramedics to come out with their gurney. And I took him for observation, at least. We hope nothing serious, but you never know, and you want to use all kind of precaution. But they went down to the Queen of the Valley Hospital. Well, the Crusher player is going to be okay as he pops up now. And that is Edgar Navarro, a sophomore. Interesting, on the roster for the Vintage JVs, they have one freshman and three juniors.
Wow, I didn't know the... Well, it makes sense. Is that a new rule? I didn't know juniors could play on the JV.
Yeah, I think that is. You know, last night they had a freshman game here, and they played to a 6-6 tie against Akalanis in the freshman action. Very much a defensive battle there. The Vintage Crusher JVs are leading 27-18, and the Crushers have the ball at the one-yard line, their own 1 yard, and the quarterback keeps the ball. He gets across the 10 to the 15. Well, let's see. Then he handed that ball off to Ian Avalos. Avalos, one of the other captains.
That was a nice little play, Ari, because Alcalana sits in a 5, well, they call it 5-2 or 3-4, but it basically a nose tackle on the center. They just trapped him. Ran a quick little trap right up the zero hole. Great game.
Yeah, he got it out to the 15-yard line for a first down. And the quarterback hands off to the fullback Avalos again. Avalos across the 20, out to the 25. Boom, he goes down at about the 26-yard line with coming up on 2 minutes to go. But another first down picked up by the JVs. And Bill Scheidez has been doing a real nice job of quarterbacking this JV unit.
Yeah, he's keeping control of the team, running it nice and smoothly, and his composure is really good.
Kyle Shue back as the coach of the JVs, and we'll have an interview with Kyle following this game. Right now, there is a timeout.
Akalani is calling that timeout.
Even though Akalani's down by 9 points, they could try for a quick touchdown and an onside kick. Boy, we saw so many onside kicks last week in the varsity action at American Canyon.
Boy, well, Deer Valley had no kicker. Dino, you would have loved this. They had no kicker. So every time they scored, they go for 2 points, and they literally did the onside kick.
And the first three times they recovered it.
And they recovered the first three times.
They were well-schooled on that, and not so with American Canyon and handling the onside kick try.
No, they were not prepared for that, and that one went on the coaches. I'm sure they rectified that this week.
Last year, the Vintage JVs had 6 wins, 1 loss, and 1 tie, In the MEL, you remember the MEL?
I do.
Yes. They were 4-0. The Crusher JVs 4-0, and they look good so far this year. Kyle Shue, again, is handling the main chores as the head JV coach. And they hand off going right side. If they hand off to Riley Hatfield this time, Hatfield takes the ball from Scheidez and gets to about the 29-yard line. A short gain there. They need to get out to the 36-yard line to get a first down. But right now, the clock is the ally for the Vintage Crushers.
And it looks like the Dons have used one of their timeouts here.
They have one timeout remaining. Crushers also with one timeout remaining. We're in the JV action here at Memorial Stadium. As the JV kickoff was a half hour earlier than last year, but because of the injury and all that, and a lot of passing by the team coming in from Lafayette, that this game has been drawn out quite a bit. So while the varsity action scheduled to start in about 5 minutes, not so. It's not going to happen because the JV game is still in progress. So we're probably looking still at a 7:30 start for the varsity.
I would think so. I really believe that with the passing that the JV and, of course, what we're going to see on the varsity level. And I know you will allude to this a little bit later, but I think it may have something to do with that head coach of Akalani's, why they pass so much.
Yeah. Well, Floyd Burnsett has a history of outstanding football coaching and has relied on the pass a lot. There's a handoff as they try the left side of the line, and Riley Hatfield is across the 30s out to about the 31. Again, they have to get to the 36-yard line for a first down, so they're about 5 yards shy of that, bringing up a third down and 5 to go for the Vintage Crushers as Akalani's calls their final timeout. So that will be the final timeout for the Dons. It's going to be interesting to follow this varsity action as the quarterback for the Dons is just a junior. Nick Kresnak is his name. This is on the varsity, but a very good passer and an excellent baseball player. He's had UCLA and various major colleges offer him scholarships to go play baseball there as a pitcher. But he is also just a junior in high school and an outstanding quarterback. He was on the JVs last year, and this year got his first action last week. So this will only be his second game on the varsity, while Vintage will counter with a sophomore. How often do you see a sophomore start at quarterback on the varsity for Vintage or Napa, for that matter?
Not that often, Ira. It's just, you know, so
it has happened,
Leach making
yeah.
a gutsy call here.
Yeah. Charles Hammond, he started as a freshman, I think.
Yeah, he did.
As a quarterback for the Vintage Crushers. But it's going to be Jacob Aaron, sophomore, getting the start. All right, we resume play now in this JV game. And a fake and a handoff into the second man coming through. And he gets out very close to first down territory as Dylan Smith, the freshman, the only freshman on the JV squad, does pick up the first down as he gets all the way out to the 38-yard line. He picked up first down plus a couple yards after that. Mark Thomas marks the ball down. He's one of the officials in this game and will be wearing the white hat in the next game.
Mark Thomas, good friend of mine, played quarterback for Vallejo Apaches back in the mid-70s.
And you played against him.
Good guy.
Bill Scheidez brings him up to the line now. He has asked for and received a timeout by the Crushers. So the Crushers now take a timeout, and that's their last timeout here.
I'm not too sure, Dino, why that timeout took place.
I've got a little bit of a quizzical look on my face because I think the clock running was a good situation.
Yeah, with 1 minute to go.
And a 9-point lead.
Just want to mention for you fans who are tuning in for the Silverado's baseball game, you can pick up Silverado action with the Jeff Safford and his broadcast by going to Mixlr, that's M-I-X-L-R.com. And then if when you get to mixlr.com, you use the slash Napa and then the dash and then Silverados, and you're there. And you can hear Jeff with the Silverados. They're on a two-game winning streak. And that is going on now. And they'll also be on that tomorrow night, as we'll be broadcasting another football game. Napa High home opener, the Napa football team.
The Napa football team, formerly the Indians. That'll be a fun game to watch.
That will be. That will be here at Memorial Stadium against East Union of Manteca. Play resumes now. The handoff goes to Hatfield. Tries to swing out to the right, and then when he makes his cut in, he is brought down for practically no gain. But the clock continues to run. Neither team has a timeout remaining. Vintage is leading 27-18. A battle of two very fine JV football teams. Vinny's won last week over Wilsey Wood, 34-7 in the JVs, and was Ocalanes defeating Las Lomas 55-6. Last year, the Ocalanes JVs were 7-2. Vintage last year, 6-1-1. This will be the final snap of the game, and the quarterback just takes a knee, and that will do it. So that is going to be the JV final, as it is 27-18 as the freshman game ends with Vintage as the winner. So stand by, because we'll be coming back and hear from the coach in a moment. You're in tune with KVON in Napa, California. Back after this. Okay, welcome back to Memorial Stadium here as we get set for varsity football action. And what a nice JV game. A good start for the home season for the Vintage JVs.
Oh, yeah.
2-0 now.
You want to win in front of your home crowd at the home field advantage there, and they did, and did a great job. And Ira, you know, what was more impressive is they did it in sound fashion, meaning that everything was executed from the coaching, the working the clock, keeping the ball on the ground. You know, everything that you prepare for, and they did a really nice job coming out of facing a tough team with a tough quarterback there, and throwing the long ball and with success, and was able to shut them down and get the victory.
And before we find out a little bit about the varsity action and the game coming up, let's get the comments from Kyle Shue, who is the head coach of the Vintage JVs.
First of all, how does it feel coming back as the head JV coach?
Well, it's great. It's, I believe, my 12th year here, and it's always fun. It's always an adventure and a new cast of characters that I get to know and coach up, and it's always a fun time.
What type of roster do you have?
It's mostly sophomores. I do have one freshman up, and we have three juniors down. So there's a good, mostly sophomores, but there's a couple other classes in there.
Have any size?
The sophomore class has decent size, not like last year, but there's decent size, but it is not like last year, no.
Any changes as far as those helping you out on the program as far as coaching?
This year, Jamie Larson had to move back down to freshman. He was my defensive coordinator last year, and with business, he had a trouble committing to the Fridays. So he's back helping freshmen, and so my new addition this year is Josh DeGarmo is my defensive coordinator.
And those were the comments of Kyle Shue, who is the head JV coach. Now 2-0 on the season, getting a good start there. All right, we're going to pause for about 1 second and then have a little opening here as we start the varsity action. Good evening once again, and welcome in from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, as tonight the Vintage Crushers of Napa, in their 47th year of operations, will be hosting the Ocalanes Dons coming in from Lafayette. Both teams lost last week, and both teams are looking forward, though, to a successful season this year. As the Vintage Crushers are coached by Dylan Leach in his third year, he is the first Vintage coach to have played for the Crushers, and Floyd Burnsett is also in his third year as the head coach for Ocalanes. It had a great season last year. They were 9-2 and 3-1 in that very tough Diablo Foothill League.
Ira, they're well coached and well disciplined, and you know, Floyd is he's been around that East Bay for many, many years. Is at Miramonte for years, and of course at Solano College, and he's always produced winning programs. He's a fun coach to play against, and I'm sure the kids love playing for him. So look for a very well prepared Akilani's Dons football team coming in here tonight. Nothing they'd like better to come in and knock Vintage off on their home opener here at the Memorial Stadium.
Well, the Crushers on the field now, the varsity in some calisthenics prior to the opening kickoff of tonight's game. And we'll be back in a moment and hear from the coaches as we have comments from Floyd Burnsett. And by the way, his wife used to be on KVON radio. She did traffic reports for us. And now she's on a station in San Francisco called KCBS. And she goes by the name of Carolyn Burns on the KCBS. But at one time worked with us at KVON radio. And she is here this evening. And, of course, cheering for her husband's team, Floyd Burnsett, and the Dons from Akilani's. So we'll be back and hear his comments when we continue here on our countdown to kickoff. Back in a moment. Taking time out for this. Well, taking a look at what happened last week, not good news for the Vintage Crushers. They turned the ball over six times when they played at the new stadium at Will C. Wood High School in Vacaville and lost 35-7. What was interesting is that Vintage, last year, the JVs defeated Will C. Wood. And Wood, as far as the varsity this year, or last year, defeated Vintage by just 3 points, 24-21, right toward the end of the season. And that was an important game that was going to give the Crushers a chance for a home field advantage in the opening round of the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely, Ira. And I know talking with Coach Leach earlier this week, he was not happy with all the turnovers that happened there last week.
And you know, the last year that the Vintage Crushers made it into the playoffs and had a win? Yeah, had a win.
You're going to have to tell me.
1986. And, you know, it's been quite some time since they have. That's 32 years, but it's been quite a while since, you know, they have had the championship there. But Dylan Leach doing a good job of building his program.
Oh, yeah, Dylan's turned the program around. There's no doubt about it in a very short amount of time. And he has the kids believing in the system, believing in the coaches, believing in themselves. And the Vintage program is on the up and up. I mean, big time up and up.
And last week for the Akilani's team, they lost at home to Las Lomas 12-7. A real defensive battle there.
Yeah, that's
that's because the new quarterback, partly, that was his first game on the varsity.
Sure, but we'll see how they respond this week. I just, you know, from the scouting reports and everything, we're expecting the ball in the air, and we'll see what happens. Kind of based on the Vintage game, I expect the ball in the air as well. But we'll see how this young man performs being a junior in the second game.
We'll find that out in a moment. Let's find out more about the Akilani's football program from their head coach, Floyd Burnsett.
Well, Floyd, first of all, congratulations on the success that you've had over the years at various locations, as it has just been sort of synonymous with your football teaching.
Thank you. It's been a very enjoyable career. I've got to coach at the high school level and, of course, Solano Community College, and had success at both levels, so it's been fun.
Pretty good school system over there at Akilani's, too.
Oh, great school system. You know, I was at Miramonte for 20 years. It's the same school district, same kids. Very smart kids that are disciplined and work hard, and they do a great job.
And very supportive of the athletic program.
Yes, we have tons of support. Parents are great over there. They really support the kids and work hard at having a successful program over there.
You had a lot of success last season, but a lot of graduation, so you've got a young team.
Yeah, we do. We're very young. Last year's team was a lot of seniors. Matter of fact, our quarterback's at Cal, our linebacker's at Cal, so a lot of talent that was lost off of that team. And we were 9-2 last year, had a great year.
Well, you have the opportunity of playing in a pretty tough league.
Yeah, we do. There's not an easy team on our schedule this year. Even outside of our league, we're playing you guys, we're playing Archbishop Mitty, we're playing El Cerrito. So it's a very, very tough league and a very tough schedule for us this year.
Do you have the numbers on your roster as far as the number of players that turned out?
We have 46, I think, on our roster. I'd like to get the numbers up in years to around 60, 65. And that way I think you build a dynasty.
We are familiar with your wife, who used to be on KVON as reporting traffic.
Yeah, she used to be there. She was up in Sacramento, and now she's at KCBS in San Francisco, and she does a lot of sports and, of course, traffic news, all kind of stuff for KCBS. So she enjoys broadcasting, so a lot of fun for her. She'll be up here tonight. So,
do you stay in touch with some of your former players as far as after they get out of the Akalani's program or some of the programs you've had, like at Solano College?
Oh, yeah. We keep in touch with a ton of our players. As a matter of fact, for our Northgate game this year, I got a kid flying out that I coached in Kentucky in 1975, so he's coming out to see a game. And on the way up, I texted Mike Gibson, who was a Napa graduate who played for me at Solano, and I texted him saying we're playing up here tonight. So.
Well, it'd be real good to see Mike Gibson if he's around, if he came over to the game.
Absolutely. If I spot him, I'll get him up here, Ira. We'll get him on the radio.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what side of the field he's on, since he played for Floyd, if he goes over there, because he was, of course, from Napa High and played for the Indians. And so what his loyalty might be to his former coach.
Well, I'm sure he'd go over and say hello and so forth, you know, but he has close ties with Dylan as well. Don't let him know.
Yeah, and, well, anyway, I hope he's still around the area, because I know he helped with the football programs around this area after he came back from playing professional football.
Yeah, local story, local kid going to high school, then college football and into the pros, kind of another Larry Allen story. You know, making it in the pros, not as long as Larry did, but what a great honor it is to have a Napa or a Vintage High graduate go on and play in the Professional Football League.
Of course, Larry Allen played for the Vintage Crushers, went on to a very fine career, particularly with Dallas.
Yeah, absolutely, and what a story that was, huh? Takes a year off of high school, just a jolly good guy, having fun, realizes that, you know what, I have a body to do something with. Goes up to Butte College, and then over to Sonoma State, and it just goes to show, Dino, if you're good enough, the pros will find you no matter where you are at Sonoma State.
No, it's true, and I think it's funny because one of the things that I've always thought separated some of the great NFL teams from the not-so-great teams is you look at their rosters, and the great teams are able to find players at places, I mean, the 49ers, when they were at their peak, had a wide receiver from Mississippi Valley State,
yep,
a wide receiver from Delaware State, and a tight end from Santa Clara.
Absolutely.
And those are schools that a lot of pro team may have never even heard of.
That's right.
Well, we'll find out what Dylan Leach has to say about his team this season, particularly as it relates to tonight's game against Akalani's. That'll be coming up in just a moment when we continue. But right now, we're going to take time out for this message. Well, we're here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, to broadcast tonight's football action. But there are other games around the area. The Justin Santa Braves of Napa hosting Healdsburg tonight. Braves, of course, have a different look, and interesting to find out how their season is going to be going. American Canyon has a tough assignment tonight. They're playing at Intercom, which is in the Sacramento area, and is one of the strong teams in the Sac Joaquin section.
Yeah, Intercom's always tough up there, Ira. And, you know, American Canyon, who had 7 turnovers last week, was like Vintage's 6, you know, that I'm sure that's what they worked on, is keeping the ball under control and ball control. They actually moved the ball pretty well and just fumbled in the red zone last week on that loss to Deer Valley. So
and covering onside kicks.
And definitely covering the onside kick. So that'll be a tough foe up there at Indicom there in Sacramento, West Sac.
And the Calistoga Wildcats are opening their season tonight. They're at home to South Fork of Miranda. The St. Helena Saints have a game tomorrow afternoon. It's at Sir Francis Drake, originally scheduled for 2. They move the kickoff time back to 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. And we'll be back here at Memorial Stadium tomorrow night as Napa High has a home game against East Union of Manteca. 6:45 airtime for our broadcast. And as you know, Kent, we do have some other new teams in this new league, the Vine Valley Athletic League, in addition to Napa and Vintage. We've got American Canyon in there and Justin Siena. And Sonoma Valley, they're at El Molino tonight over in Forestville. Casa Grande of Petaluma's in the league, and they are home to Montgomery of Santa Rosa. And the seventh team in the league is Petaluma, and they're playing at Santa Rosa High School tonight. So all of these are pre-conference games. So.
Yep, you know, that's it rings for me, Ira, you naming all those teams. It comes back when I played in the old North Bay League. You know, the Petaluma schools and the, well, there's just one, but the Santa Rosa schools. And so it's going to be a fun league to watch. It's going to be new for everybody and see how everybody competes. And I kind of like the grudge factor with American Canyon, Napa, Vintage, and Justin all involved in the same league. There's some major bragging rights going on there, Dino.
Absolutely. In fact, I think I kind of liken it to, in pro ball, the NFC East, where you've got the Giants, Redskins, Cowboys, and Eagles, and they all hate each other, or at least the fans do. And every week, when even if two of those teams are playing, it's always a big game.
Sure.
And that's what I'm looking at in this new conference configuration. I mean, we have the potential to have a rivalry game or a big game almost every week when the league schedule starts.
Well, when football started at Vintage High School, a guy named Burl Autry was the first coach. That was back in 1972. And Burl continued to coach the Crushers for 14 years. Then Mike Kuntz took over from Burl, and he coached the team for 3 years. Following that, it was Dave Shipp in his first term as the head coach for Vintage, and that lasted for 5 years. He was relieved by Jim Costin, and he remained the head football coach for 6 seasons. Then Les Franco came over after 11 years at Napa High, and Coach Franco was the Vintage head coach for 7 years. Billy Smith took over and was head coach for 4 years. Then Dave Shipp came back for a second go-around, and he was coaching for 2 years. Then Kyle Hoffman came in, and he was the Crusher coach for 3 years prior to Dylan Leach taking over, and this is his third year. So let's get his comments about this season's team.
Well, Coach, after the first game, you learned a lot from seeing what happens actually on the field. So some changes from last week?
Yeah, I think the biggest changes, just came within preparation and disposition of our team and attitude, and then a kind of a trust factor, right, between the coaching staff and the players and vice versa. So, first game, you don't want to lose like that, but at the same time, might be the best thing that's happened for us.
Were there many penalties in that the first game of the season?
No, I mean, that wasn't our issue. I mean, there was a few that set us back, but that wasn't the biggest issue. I think the biggest issue was just execution and trusting the scheme.
Any charging horses or injuries coming out of that game?
Yeah, we had Villami was banged up a little bit, and so was Angel Castillo. So, but they're ready to go. They're tough guys, and they're ready to play.
What type of defense do you put against this team coming in from Lafayette?
Yeah, well, hey, they're multifaceted, but they throw the ball really well. So we're going to have to sit in some nickel situations on you know, probably the majority of time and even start out there if we have to.
Mm-hmm. Your assistant coaches this year, many changes from last season?
Yeah, I mean, we had some changes, always turnover at the high school level, right? So Coach O'Dell had left us, and he was our defense coordinator. So we have a great thing going on right now with Coach Kyle Archer and Coach Preston Garcia kind of taking over that role. And, and Kyle's been a guy who's been with me, and I coached, had the luxury of coaching him in 2007. So I trust him with the fullest, and he's just doing a great job.
How's the week of practice been?
I think it's the best week we've had all year. So hopefully that'll translate over, you know, to the game. And yeah, you never know, right? And so, but we're looking forward to having another test, right? We failed the first one, so we got to pass this one.
Tough preseason as far as before the league play.
Yeah, I mean, hey, who doesn't want that, right? I mean, you got to see who you are right away. This is no different. You know, they had a great year last year, but we got to test ourselves, and you got to throw yourself in the fire before league.
Well, we've got two very fine 0-1 teams about to go at it, and whichever team loses, they're going to be one of the best 0-2 teams around because these are two fine high school football teams.
Well, Ira, what you have is you have a seasoned coach over there in Floyd Bernstedt who's proven that he's a winning coach and puts in a winning program. And then you have a young coach in Dylan Leach who's not young at coaching. He's been coaching a long time, but young in the fact that he's the head coach for the third year now, and he has built up a program just as successful. And so you got two talented teams and two, I want to say disciplined teams, but I know that's always a struggle sometimes. But, I mean, you have two well-coached teams, and I'm sure the preparedness factor is going to be very big on both teams. I look for Vintage to do very well, and I know Dino, you would expect Akalani's to come out throwing hard and want to shut Coach Dylan Leach and the Crushers down here in their home opener at their home field.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's all right.
Well, we'll check the officials assigned to tonight's game before the opening kickoff, which is coming up in about 1 minute. Of course, we'll have the national anthem prior to that. But Mark Thomas is going to be the referee in this contest. He's from Vallejo. Lem Sneed is going to be the umpire tonight. Nate Starling is the linesman. Javier Pino is the line judge. And Joe Azevedo is the back judge for tonight's contest. And they already have worked that JV game and did a lot of running up and down. Well, the band is not here for Vintage High, but we will have the national anthem here in a moment. And speaking of the band, after some 32 years, I guess 30 years that Bill Gant had been the band director at Vintage High. And while he retired, I understand that he's still going to be helping out and being there to assist in some ways. You know, Kent, 2 years ago, Vintage had 61 players on their freshman roster. You can imagine on that was a great turnout. And they had 80 on the varsity last year. And about 49 on the varsity this year, so the numbers are going down.
Yeah, numbers are going down for various reasons, and I think it's a topic I'd like to bring up at, on the Sports Find one of these times. Is high school football, is it on the decline?
Okay, well, our isolated eye, Dino Alessio, is watching out there as the captains have gone out to the center of the field. There's Viliami Shemko out there, right. For one.
And Jack O'Dell, yeah. Alfonso Medina, and
Zach Daniels.
Yeah.
So those are the four captains acting for the captain role in this game. We might mention, too, we talked about Dylan Leach being the head coach in his third year. Kyle Archer is going to be doing the defensive calling of signals tonight. The other assistant coaches include Andrew Hall, who works the line along with Dennis Raines. So you're quite familiar, I know, Kent, with those guys.
Yeah, they've coached together a long time, Ira. They're very familiar with each other and trust in each other, as Coach Leach was talking about.
Lenny Dinoff is going to be an assistant. Bob Rosenthal, Larry Villanueva, Preston Garcia, those are all assistant coaches. And we're going to rise for the playing of the national anthem, and it's not going to be the band. And since we can't pick it up too well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back here with the kickoff in a moment after this. Well, welcome back in now as the national anthem's been sung. I guess we're welcoming back in, but we never left. So we're still here and just about ready for the opening kick. The kicker for the Crusaders is Eddie Gonzalez, and we'll be seeing him on punts, kickoffs, PATs, and so forth.
Yeah.
Dino, let's check what happened on the toss.
Well, the result was that the Vintage Crusaders are going to be receiving the opening kickoff, and they're going to be attacking the south goal. Aquilinus will be kicking off and defending that south goal in this first quarter of action.
And we might mention that the wind is very stiff tonight. It's blowing a pretty good clip from the south end zone out toward the north end zone.
And Ira, another observation here is it's going to be very interesting. For the first time in his young career, Coach Leach is upstairs here in the box. He's sitting right next to me on the other side of the window. In fact, he's not on the field. So it's interesting coaching move, coaching from the box, the head coach not on the field.
That is remarkable.
Here is Ridley teeing up the football. He is just a sophomore, a 5'11", 165-pounder. Tees it up at the 40-yard line. Crusaders send a couple players back deep, and here we go. Castro is back here along with Weber and going into the end zone. And they will take it, and Weber is downing it in the end zone. So Michael Weber, who will be starting on defense at the quarterback position, gives the ball to the official, and the ball and the touchback will be brought out to the 20-yard line as we're set to get play underway here. This is the home opener for the Vinnie's Crushers of Napa, finishing last year 7 wins, 3 losses. They were 3-1 in the MEL. Aquilinus last year 9-2, and they were 3-1 in their Diablo Foothill League. Crushers come out in a tight formation. They have the quarterback going off to his right, gets a good blocker at the 20, able to get through the 25, the 30. He's out to the 35-yard line and tripped up at the 36-yard line. A good opener there for the sophomore. Jacob Aaron read the openings really well.
That was actual Shomko carrying the ball already.
Yeah.
What they did, Vintage lined up in basically center, guard, tackle, tackle, then tight end. Just overloaded the same formation right here, powering up to the right side.
Well, Shomko is there. He takes the snap, and he fights his way through the 40-yard line and gets out to the 42. So, or that
Shomko in a wildcat formation there, basically. Ira, they're just lining up in a power formation. They're just putting all the linemen on one side, guard and tackle on the left, and everybody else on the right with two backs on the right. Here they're doing the same thing, same formation,
yeah.
Ira.
Yeah, they need 3 yards to go for a first down, and it's Hernandez getting up close to a first down territory as he is Shomko. That was Shomko again, yeah.
It's been all Shomko right here, taking the snaps.
Now, into the ballgame in place of Shomko comes Michael Weber. So Weber is in on the offense now on third down and inches to go near the 45-yard line of Aquilinus. And Weber keeps the ball on the snap, and he's able to power his way to the 49-yard line. And Weber was in for that one play. Now he comes to the sideline.
And Ira, again, what they're doing, they're just overloading one side.
Boy.
To see if they stay with it. Basically, it's center, guard, tackle, tackle, tight end, and then they put two backs on the right. What they've had is Shomko. Now it looks like they've brought in Jacob Aaron here at quarterback.
Yeah, Aaron, the sophomore. We're just underway here in the first quarter. At their own 49-yard line, it's a first down. Jacob Aaron, the quarterback, and we have...
too many men on the field.
12. 12 play. They had so many coming on the field and going off the field. And Avery Hall now is coming off of the field. So they needed just inches for that first down, and now it's going to be back needing 6 feet.
Yeah, they had the first down, Ira. They had the first, and now it's first and 15.
Oh, that's right. They picked up that first down. So they need to get to the 41-yard line in Don's territory. Double wideouts to the left, single out to the right, and Shomko carries, and Shomko gets up to about the 48-yard line on that carry.
Coach Coach Leach just going with Shomkel tonight. Just they're going to feed him the ball. At least that's the early game plan right now.
Viliami only had 29 yards in rushing in that opening game last week. But if they continue to use him as the workhorse here, he's going to be picking up a lot more than that. Out wide left goes Joshua Robert. His brother James was a star last year. Hand off to Shomkel again, and he goes over midfield and plows to about the 47-yard line. Again, they need to get the 41-yard line for a first down. That brings up a third down.
Here comes their heavy formation again.
They're almost in four-down territory there at the 47-yard line. And the quarterback is going to be Michael Weber.
Yep. Akalanis lining up in a 3-4 or a 5-2. The nose tackle on the center. There's our heavy formation.
Weber tucks the ball in. He picks up a first down. He's inside the 40. Dives ahead as he is getting hit on the tackle there by Dane Jensen.
And Ira Vintage is just marching on the right, their offensive right. The ball's on the right hash, and they're just staying on this right side of the field.
Very methodically moving the ball down into Don's territory. 8 minutes and 40 seconds to go. First quarter, no score in our game as the Kreischers spread cutter low out wide to the left side, tight end on the right side, and the handoff, Shomkel again. Shomkel gets to about the 31-yard line and is down at that point.
Coach Leach mixing up his formations there with that heavy, and then he went trips and then doubles, and that time a double wing off the double tights.
Mixing up the personnel a lot, too.
Yeah, and they'll run in shifting formations. They run in different, they'll have color codes, blue team, red team.
Pick up a 5 yards by Shomkel on that last carry. 8 minutes to go, first quarter, no score. Have a single setback now as he will carry. That's Galvin. Galvin gets, looks like he picked up the first down. Galvin last week got the first touchdown of the season for the Kreischers on a 1 yard plunge.
Yeah,
and he gets this ball down to the 26 yard line.
That time they lined up in just double slots right there and just gave it to the lone setback. Jesus Galvin did a nice job picking his way through that line of scrimmage, getting the first down, Ira.
Sending out wide left side, Billy Bertzel, tight end on the right. And they've got full house backfield and the handoff. They try to go over the right tackle spot and just get a short gain by Shomkel that time. Boy, they've been calling his number quite a bit here in this first quarter of play. Dandini checking into that offensive huddle.
Shomkel's already gained 40 yards on 7 carries, Ira.
Boy, that's more than he had all last week when he had 29 yards in the game. Dandini goes out wide left side. They have a wide out on the right side in Bertzel. And the handoff as they get into about the 20-yard line goes to Galvin again. And Galvin is spun around, but he gets a good hold on the ball as he gets to the 20-yard line of the Dons.
Yeah, that time they lined up and just three backs in the backfield gave to the tailback, just running a straight drive play. Long three and third and four here, Ira.
Yep.
See if they go back to their heavy formation.
And Vintage does have a good kicker in Eddie Gonzalez. So if they don't get a first down here, would they go for it or would they kick? Let's see. They have a single setback now. Aaron, the quarterback, keeps the ball, fakes a handoff. He's the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Kreischers! What a play by Jacob Aaron, the sophomore quarterback. Put a fake in there, drew the linebackers in on the would-be ball carrier, and then Aaron just rolled out to his right and angled in for the touchdown.
Yeah, I know. He just is like a counter option look to it, and then he reversed back to the almost like a naked bootleg. I'm not too sure if that was designed or a broken play, but I tell you, it's a heads-up play by Jacob Aaron no matter what. Great move he made.
They set up in the water pick. Now, they may not execute the water pick, but that is the way that they're setting up, and Galvin is coming in there. So they're lining up. They're going to go with the water pick play, and the hike comes to Weber. Weber turns the corner. He stumbles. He strips, and he goes in! Two-point conversion there by Michael Weber as he took the snap and was able to even though he was being tripped up and all, he was stumbled and got into the end zone.
Yeah, nice play by Weber, and heads-up play, and he kept his balance to get into that end zone for the big two-point play there.
Well, there's timeout now with just over 6 minutes to go in the first quarter, and our score, the Vinny's Chryslers of Napa, 8, and Akilani's of Lafayette, 0. Well, the Chryslers go 80 yards in 12 plays using 5 minutes and 52 seconds to get on the board first. And here is Eddie Gonzalez now set to kick off for the Chryslers. 6:08 to go in the first quarter, and they lead it 8-0. And his kick soars down. It's going to go back inside the 10-yard line, taken at the 8-yard line, brought right back up the middle across the 25-yard line, and down at about the 28-yard line is Jake Delaney, a junior. Had 7 carries on the offense last week, and he takes the opening kickoff. He and Kazia Smith were back there to receive that kick. And so he will now be the tailback, Delaney. The quarterback, Nick Kresnek, he had 166 yards in passing last week, and he drops back to pass here, sets a screen, and it's intercepted by Castillo. Castillo goes to his left. He's hit and dropped at about the 26-yard line. He did not want to go down, but what a nice job. By Casillo, that is Angel Casillo, a 6-foot senior.
Great play by Castillo. Boy, that Vintage lined up with 3 down linemen and looked like about 5 linebackers are expecting this passing game. And they set up this little screen, Ira. You're absolutely correct. And Castillo read that just perfectly and stepped in and made the grab. Great play by number 8, Angel Castillo.
Jacob Perrin, who got the 2-point conversion, comes into the huddle here. The Chrysler offense is back on the field with 5:20 to go in the first quarter and getting the ball at the 27-yard line of the Dons. And Aaron now fakes to the first man, gets the second man going through there. Good move by Galvin as he gets inside the 25, down to the 20, still trying to pursue additional yardage, but he's stopped at the 19-yard line.
Yeah, Vintage was in a 2-back set there, just a little cross action in the backfield, faking one and then the other, like a little X-cross. Nice little gain of 8 yards.
Galvin, yeah, picked up that gain. So the ball is at the 19-yard line. They need to get to the 17-yard line for a first down. We're in the first quarter here, and Chrysler is showing that they can move the football. The sophomore quarterback, Aaron, comes up to the line. They have double wideouts to the right side, and there is a whistle as the apparently maybe a little illegal procedure and offside against the defense. Wow. So that'll give the Chryslers a first down.
Take that all night long, Ira. An easy 5 yards and remove the flags.
Yeah. So from the 19, it'll go down there to the 14-yard line. They're moving the markers now. Just over 4.5 minutes to go. We're in the first quarter here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. 8-0. The Chryslers in the lead, and they have the ball driving again down at the 14-yard line over by the left side hash mark. They're going toward that south end zone. They're going into the wind. Sophomore quarterback has the full house there in the backfield. 3 backs lined up there. And the give is a, Galvin was there for a block. He did not take the handoff. Instead, they gave to Drew Hatfield. And Hatfield, the 5'7 senior, gets to about the 9-yard line.
Yeah, they just lined up in that, what I'm calling a heavy formation, you know, just two guards beside the center and the or 2 tackles besides the center and guard, plus a tight end, and then 3 backs that time, Ira, in the backfield.
So a pickup of about 5 yards, tough yards down there. It's going to be second down and 5 yards to go. Zakovic is in there in that backfield, but the give goes to Castro, and he tries to go out wide to the left side, and as he tried to make his cut, he's brought down. Got a short gain. Did not get a first down. Got maybe 2 yards on the play. It's going to be third down and about 3 yards to go.
That time that was double tights and a full house. Coach Leach did a great job just mixing up formations alone.
That was, they call him, well, his name is Mauricio, they call him Mo, so that's easier to say. So Castro comes off of the field now.
Shomko back in. Yeah. I look for him to carry the ball here.
Viliami Shomko in that backfield. Quarterback, Jacob Aaron. There's a couple shifts there, and Aaron hands off to Shomko. There is a flag. It's going to be a legal procedure, probably, against the Crushers. They had two men in motion at the same time.
Both wing backs were motioning there, Ira. Yep. One saying, no, I was, and the other one saying, no, I was.
Yeah, who was supposed to be.
They're both wrong.
Well, I tell you, so far, those two minor penalties have been about the only flaws in the Crushers game.
Boy, they have looked good so far in this.
Well, it's going to take them back from a third and long two to a long seven here.
Yeah, the referee not yet spotting the ball. Mark Thomas coming over and showing the illegal shift used by the Crushers. Declined.
So this fourth and a fourth down here, Ira. Fourth and two. Let's see what Coach Leach wants to do.
Okay. All right. Well, they need 2 yards, two long yards, almost three, actually about 3 yards to go for that first down. As the ball is at the 7, they need to get down to the 4-yard line, and Coach Leach going to take a timeout. So fourth down, 2 yards to go, already leading 8-0. What's the call going to be?
Well, they're going to discuss it and may want to make sure they have the right personnel on the field. I look for them to go back to that heavy formation.
For Shomko to carry?
Yeah, absolutely. With Shomko, taking the snap and just running. They had great success there right there. His first 4 or 5 plays there from the kickoff. Let's see what Coach Leach wants to do.
Remember all the success that James Robert had last year?
Absolutely.
And his brother Joshua Roberts is playing this year out there.
Yeah, man, I'm just looking at personnel change here. They're bringing in that heavy formation. Look for Shomko to take the snap, run to the right side. That's based on the early scouting report, that's what I'm calling right here.
All right, the defense is coming back onto the field, having gotten the instruction from the defensive coach on the far sideline. The Vintage Crushers are on our near sideline, which is the west side of the field. The Dons over on the east side as the Crushers come back up toward the line of scrimmage now. They will have Castillo in the backfield as one. They also have Bryce Eade in the backfield, and Shomko is there. And bad snap. Shomko goes back, picks it up at the 20-yard line, and he's hit and driven back even farther. Oh, bad snap on that. Cost the Crushers dearly.
Yeah, that play was there. It was set up. It was there. And just a snap was low and away. Shomko didn't have a shot at that at all.
That'll cost him some yardage, though. So while he was picking up yards on the offensive side, he lost them because of going back to cover up that football after the bad snap.
Yep, they lost 19 yards on that play, so he's now back below his total from last week.
Yeah.
He's now at 21 yards.
2.5 minutes to go here in the first quarter. And here come the Dons. The quarterback back to pass. His pass is complete at the 35-yard line. Then a tackle was made after Lucas Eppinger, a 6'1 junior. He had 4 receptions last week for 67 yards and gets his first reception tonight to give them a first down. They're still at their own 38-yard line.
Yeah, Eppinger just ran a nice little post out of that slot position he plays out there.
Kresnak has nobody in the backfield with him. He passes over in the right flat, and it is complete to Chris Rogers, and he's down right away at the 40-yard line. So a couple-yard pickup on that completed pass.
Yeah, Akalani's trying to motion to the trip side on our side. Then they ran a little slip screen back to the weak side there, and no gain.
They have to get out to the 48-yard line, their own 48-yard line, for a first down. This is a second down coming up for them now as Kresnak puts a man in motion, fakes a handoff, gives now over to Delaney. He gets hit and slips by one at the 45 and is then hit and dropped at the 47-yard line. They're moving the ball out to the 48-yard line, which is very close to the first down. Looked like he had gone down about a, now they move the ball. Now they're indicating first down.
Well, you have two. Oh.
Boy, they were moving that football all around out there.
We had one linesman about a yard and a half a yard short, and the other one right on it.
Yeah. But anyway, first down at their own 48-yard line. So Kresnek now, the junior quarterback, drops back to pass, gets the rush, rolls out of the pocket, fires on the run, and the pass is incomplete. Pretty well defended downfield. The pass was intended for Chris Rogers.
Well, I thought Camus Barrett might have a shot at that, playing that free safety. Vintage is playing three down linemen and five linebackers. It's an interesting call.
There's some moisture in the air out here now. I guess this must be from the fog coming in or something.
Chilling down, yep.
Yeah. Seems like the fall time of the year. Seems like football weather, though. Second down, 10 yards to go from their own 48-yard line. Vintage leads it 8-0. The Dons with the football. Kresnak hands off. They go to the outside. Delaney, he goes across 50, down the 45. As he continues in the Crusher territory, he's dropped at the 41-yard line. Oh, good move there by Jake Delaney. He had the touchdown last week, their only touchdown in that ball game that they lost at home to Las Lomas 12-7.
Good call there on Ocalanas. You have three down linemen only. And, expecting the pass, so let's run the ball, get some yards that way.
At the 41-yard line, Kresnik works the draw as Delaney takes it again. Good move inside the 30, down to the 20, down the 15, the 10, hit from behind and dropped by Michael Weber, the cornerback. He was able to catch up with him.
Wow, there was about three missed tackles there. They had him at the line of scrimmage. Dino, I think he picked up 20-plus yards there, but, I mean, they had him pinned, and he made three missed tackles.
He actually picked up 31 yards on that play. Some nifty running by Delaney.
We're in the final minute of the first quarter. Vintage's lead is 8 right now, but it's in jeopardy as the Ocalanes Dons come up to the line of scrimmage. It's at the 10-yard line. First down. Nick Kresnak has a single set behind him, and that's Jake Delaney, who has been carrying the ball. And now they're going to take a timeout. So the visitors from Ocalanes call timeout. And Kent, that'll give us a chance to mention about Adam Housley, who graduated from Vintage High, played a lot of sports, including a great baseball player at Vintage High.
And football.
Yeah, and he is leaving Fox at the end of this month. He's now covering Hurricane Lane down in Hawaii. And he's coming back to the area. He wants to spend more time with his two young kids and his wife and help run the family winery.
Well, his dad Art needs all the help he can get. So, yeah. So I'm glad Adam's coming back. Now I can have good conversations with Adam and still pick on Art.
Well, he joined Fox back in 2001. But Adam would be a good guy to have on the Sports Vine as a guest.
Absolutely. I think Dino just took that cue. He's going to have him as a guest there.
Well, he's still in Hawaii. He won't be coming back till after the first of the month. Well, let's see what happens now as the Dons are coming up to the line of scrimmage. Kresnak, the quarterback, this is only his second game on the varsity as a quarterback. Fakes a handoff, play action, back to fire, in the end zone, nearly intercepted, and perhaps Bittner would have had another shot at it. He could have held on to it. Jacob Bittner, a defensive back there, nearly had an interception.
Right in his hands.
Stops the clock now with 16.8 seconds to go here in the first quarter. 8-0 Vintage in the lead. Ocalanes has the ball over by the right side hash marks. They're going towards the north end zone now with a second down and 10. And Kresnik, the quarterback, with Delaney behind him, drops back and works the draw again. Delaney hit at the line of scrimmage, and there are flags coming out as he goes for a couple more yards. I don't know, that could be a face mask there.
I think you're right. I think they're going to get him for face mask. Colton Fisher grabbed him immediately, held him up, and then I think the face mask came later.
Yeah.
That's a shame because it looked like they had him stopped for almost no gain.
Well, that the Crushers
was unnecessary.
Crushers had a big error when they turned the ball over. Oh, well, they didn't turn it over. They had a bad snap. Personal foul, grabbing the face mask, as we'd indicated. That'll be first down half the distance to the goal. That's another tough break. So the Crushers have created two tough breaks on their part.
Well, yeah, the first was that low snap, and now you have this penalty. That's huge.
So they're not are they calling that an automatic first down? The chain gang is indicating second down. I think it's first down.
Quarterback looks to fire in the end zone, and it's complete touchdown as Chris Rogers just spun around and had the ball right there to his hands, and he held on to it for the touchdown. Yeah. So
Rogers got the inside shade on the defensive back on a post, and Krasnick just put it right there on the money.
So let's see if they're going to go for one rather than a two-point conversion attempt. Hunter Ridley, the 5'11 sophomore, will attempt the point after. So if he makes it, the Crushers would still have a one-point lead in the ball game. But they've gone 78 yards in seven plays. They've used 2 minutes and 46 seconds off the clock. And Hunter Ridley's kick is on the way. It's up and good. Good leg there. Yeah, you see why they kicked the ball. So there is a timeout now with the score here at Memorial Stadium. The Vintage Crushers of Napa, 8, and the Akilani's Dons of Lafayette, 7. Well, just a reminder, you're in tune with KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country. And we stream on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry and our statistician, Dino Alessio, this is Ira C. Smith as we get set for Hunter Ridley to kick off. Crushers holding on to a one-point lead. And here we go. The kick. Not too deep, over bounds at the 25-yard line, and it's didn't get the 25-yard line, about 28. Returned to the 30-yard line by Joshua Robert, 5'9 senior.
Yeah, Akilanis just wanted to keep the ball. It's almost like a little chip shot just on purpose right there.
Didn't want to get it too deep.
Not too bad, though. There was no gain on it, Ira.
About to the 27, he returned at 3 yards. We are just underway now in the second quarter of our game. Vintage with an 8-7 lead and the football at their own 30-yard line, the right side hash marks, sending double wide out to the right and a single wide to the left, and a single setback there as quarterback working under center. And he keeps the ball and moves close to the 35-yard line, didn't quite get to the 35-yard line, but Jacob Aaron on the option. I don't know if that's probably just a design play.
Keep, yep. Double sets there, and double set receivers, Ira, and they just fake to the fullback, and then he runs right up behind the fullback trying to pick his way. Good yards, 4.5 yards right there. Good play.
Shamkel is back in that backfield now as the sophomore Aaron gives them the signal and sends Birdsall out wide to the right side. Tight end on the left side. I formation in the backfield. And the quarterback hands off this time, but nothing opened up there for Shamkel that time. And he is driven back.
Yeah, that time the mesh and the option between Aaron and Shamkel was just way off. That play took so long to develop.
Well, wholesale changes again in the offense for the Crushers.
Well, they need to bring in their third and long five formation and get a good successful play here, which they have.
Yeah. Possession type play coming up here early in this second quarter. Robert going out to the right side along with Camus Barrett.
Into backfield.
And there is a flag. There was some movement before the snap.
Should be offsides, Akilinas.
And you're correct. So that's going to be, it looks like it's going to give them a first down. It should give the Crushers the first down just outside the 40-yard line. They haven't positioned the football yet. Now they are going to. 10.5 minutes to go here in this first half, and it is a first down for the Vintage Crushers at their own 40-yard line. And again, they make more shifts. Ian is back in. Got Zakovic back in.
Well, now they're bringing the tight ends back in.
Barrett comes out. Cutter Lowe comes out. So they're wanting to get the ball into Don's territory now as they have the power in there, the full house backfield. And they try a running play over to the left side, and they get maybe a couple yards, but not much more than that, as it was Castro. Mo Castro stopped at the 42-yard. Well, our automatic technical adjustment, hopefully, is finished now as the Crushers put a man in motion, and they hand off to Shemko. He's hit behind the line of scrimmage, and he's able to get back just about to the line of scrimmage, but not much more than that.
Vintage is sticking with their double tights running game, and you know they really haven't really thrown the ball yet. And Akolanos is bringing those linebackers up more and more and more. Now they're bringing in their, looks like, their double set receiver, Vintage, that is.
Could we see a pass for Vintage or not? They're still in their own territory, but it is third down and 8 yards to go.
Yeah, they got empty backfield, three receivers to the right, to the left here, Ira.
Yeah, they're really stretched out on the field. And they got encroachment there, as coming across the line too soon was Addison Early, 5'9", senior defensive
player. From a third and eight, you're going to go to a third and a long three.
Let's see if that changes the play. Dylan Leach on the sideline contemplating that now if he wanted to. He's going with the same play. With the empty backfield again. Five wideouts as he drops back. A quick pass over the middle is complete to Weber. Weber is hit. Spins to the 45-yard line in Don's territory. And a first down for the Vintage Crushers.
Nice little play. And Weber, the inside slot receiver, just running a quick little hitch, if you will. Hitch slash post. Aaron just hit him right on the about a 5-yard break there. Just nice, easy first down. Safeties have to play back, so they can't come up and make that play.
Hatfield is back in the offensive huddle now for the Crushers, along with Shamkel. And they have Avery Hall in there at tight end now on the right side. Shemko is the only setback, and the quarterback going to follow Shemko through the line, and he gets stopped at about the 43, maybe the 42-yard line. Depends on where they spot the ball as they unpile there. But the quarterback, Jacob Aaron, just held onto the football and followed his running back, Viliami Shemko, through that line for about 3-yard pickup.
Yeah, Shemko's a workhorse, I already.
Oh, he has been in this first half.
Middle backer, and he plays that running back position. They just ride that horse as much as they can.
Well, I didn't know too much about Jacob Aaron coming into this, being that he's just a sophomore, but he's handled it nicely so far. He is handing off to his tailback, and he gets to about the 40-yard line. Not too much there for Jesus Galvin, and stopped 5 yards shy of a first down. That's going to bring up a third down, probably in four down territory now.
Just some missed assignments there on the lead blocking back. Bryce Eade there just went through the line, didn't hit anybody. He needs to pick somebody out, a different color jersey, and just nail him. They can get more yardage there. So I know Coach Leach will talk about that at halftime, just execution and, you know, make your blocks, make your tackles. That's what's kind of happening here, Ira.
Again, nobody there, empty backfield. The quarterback fired, and it's dropped by Weber. That would have been a first down had he held on to the football. He was defensed by Tommy Threshler.
Yeah, same play. Weber, the inside receiver, just ran a little skinny post. The ball was there. Need to make that catch. Coach Leach, see what he wants to do on their 40-yard line there.
Is that the punt team, you think, coming on the field?
Yep. I would say so.
And Eddie Gonzalez, tell he's a punter by the color of his shoes out there. Huh? Kind of a chartreuse type color on them. And he gets a snap, gets the punt away. Boy, it's a high one going away. A fair catch is called for, and it's made it around the 11-yard line by Smith.
Great punt.
Yeah, all kind of coverage available on that when it's that high.
Lots of hang time. Gets your team get down there. Gives enough time to get down there and get good coverage forced Aquilanas to make a fair catch. That was a great punt by Gonzalez.
Spotted at the 12-yard line. 6 minutes to go. We're in the first half. 8-7 score. Vintage Chrysler's with the lead. But Aquilanas Dons with the football. His single setback, double wides either side. Quarterback back to pass. Fires down the sideline. And it is caught 40-45. But there are flags on the field. Yeah, Weber was the defender. And Chris Rogers was the receiver on the play.
Two separate flags here. I think the first flag is going to be on Weber for pass interference or holding. The second one, I'm not quite sure.
Well, Vintage knew coming in that they were going to face a passing attack. Hold against the Chrysler's is the call.
Weber was holding that receiver up. And, you know, you can see it from upstairs. I mean, you can see it on the field.
So the Dons are showing that they can move the football. They get the ball almost to midfield, out to the 48-yard line, their own 48, exactly 6 minutes remaining in this first half, halfway through the quarter. They have a single setback, Delaney. Double wides to the left, single out to the right, and Delaney will carry. He is hit in the middle, gets to the 50-yard line, and that's about it. They need to get down to the Chrysler 42-yard line to achieve a first down, and they got the ball right at midfield there. A couple-yard gain on that carry by Jake Delaney.
Yeah, good tackle by Zach Daniels there, playing that left defensive tackle. Vintage sticking in that 3-5-3 defense. Three down line. Lyman, five backers, and the two corners and safety.
Kresnak back to pass. Looks. Fires out in the left flat. It is complete. They get a first down on that as Keziah Smith held onto the football and then was spun out of bounds right at the 40-yard line in Vintage territory.
Way too much room out there for that receiver, Ira. There was no one around him. Who has the flat responsibility is probably one of those linebackers. It
basically had the first down on the reception.
Yeah, way too much room.
So coming up to the line of scrimmage now with the first down from the 40. Kresnik, as he takes the snap, drops back, looks down the middle, fires long down the right side and overshoots. Pass was intended for Chris Rogers.
Rogers had Weber by about two steps. If that ball was on the target, that'd be a touchdown.
Second down and 10. Ball remains there at the 40-yard line. They're heading toward that south end zone here in the second quarter of the game. 8-7 the score. Vintage in the lead. Aquilanas with the football, showing that they can move the football very quickly. They have it in Chrysler territory, and they use a spread formation. Three wides coming to the right side and one out to the left side. The ball's at the left side hash mark, and Krasnick, there is going to be a illegal movement there by Keziah Smith. He started down the field, and everybody else was waiting at the line of scrimmage for the ball to be hiked.
Yes.
Like he
count
was on one, and it was on two.
That's exactly right.
So that will move it back 5 yards to the 45-yard line. Well, the way that Kresnak passed the ball, he can eat that 5 yards up in a hurry. So they stay in that split-type formation, one wide to the left, three out to the right, and the pass goes down the middle, and there was contact made. It's going to be pass interference on the Chrysler's. The Chrysler actually stumbled and ran into the intended receiver. That's making contact.
Tough call there, Ira. It's more incidental contact in my eyes than pass interference.
It was, but it was contact. So
you can almost feel the momentum shifting here, Ira, to Aquilanas. You know, they after that bad snap on that fourth and two.
Well, it definitely
the
happened.
Momentum
on
has
that.
Shifted.
Yeah.
Vintage
had played a real good game up to that point, and they've been having problems since then on holding on to the football, on penalties, and that takes the ball all the way to the 30-yard line after it was back at the 45-yard line. Spread formation once again with single setback, that being Delaney. Quarterback to pass, looks down the middle, fires down the middle toward the end zone, and it is caught. Wow. Touchdown. Wow. By Jack Murren, I believe, the 5'9 junior.
Yeah, what a catch.
Wow.
He ran a little post corner, and the ball was thrown instead of running to the corner. The ball was thrown behind him, and he had to adjust and just make a beautiful diving catch. Probably had the wind knocked out of him a little bit. What a catch. Dino, that was unbelievable, that catch.
The throw and the catch.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I thought that was Murren, but I couldn't get his...
It was, Ira. You had it right.
All right, here's the extra point attempt by Ridley as the ball is snapped, it's placed down, and the kick just made it over. It went over by a couple feet over the bar. So there's a timeout, 4.5 minutes to go here until halftime. The score now is Akalani's Dons from Lafayette, 14. Vinny's Kreischer's of Napa, 8. Back after this. Kickoff, end over end, but not very deep, back to the 21-yard line, and taken there, brought back out near the 25, and then driven back as Barrett had the ball and couldn't find a blocker in front of him.
Yeah, Camus Barrett tried to run to the sideline, then stopped, and then it was just kind of dancing there, just needs to put his head down and go straight forward, get some yards.
Well, that last scoring drive by the Dons, they went 88 yards in 7 plays. They only used a minute and 36 seconds off the clock to get that second touchdown here in the first half.
Plenty of time here, Ira. Vintage just needs a nice, long, sustained drive, keep the ball on the ground, eat the clock up.
Both teams have 2 timeouts each remaining. Handoff as they do a counter, and it's Castro across the 30 out to about the 35-yard line. That should be enough for a Kreischer first down.
Just like that. Good call, Ira. It was a counter, and Castro did a nice job at picking the hole there and making good yards.
Oh, it will be the Vintage Kreischer's some 65 yards away from the end zone with just over 4 minutes to go until halftime.
Akalana still sitting in there, 3-4 defense.
Barrett out wide to the right side. And Aaron hands off, and Castro is hit and driven down as Mo Castro gets maybe a couple yards on the play.
Tommy Thrasher of Akalana came up from his linebacker spot just to blow that play up, the timing of it all.
Since that first Kreischer drive, the Don's defense is really tightened
up.
Yeah,
they really have. The linebackers are stepping up. The linemen are stalemating the offensive line. We haven't seen Vintage come out with that, what I call that power formation, as much what they had success there in the first drive.
Now they have a single setback there now as Aaron hands off to on a counter to Hatfield. Hatfield tries to make his move as he was swinging to the right side, but cut in and brought down at the 41. They have to get to the 45 for a first down, so they need 4 yards.
Part of that problem is they only had 10 guys on the field that time.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a problem when you have all these different looks of formations. Yeah. Is you gotta, if you're on the sidelines, you have to be aware when the formation's called. You got to know your assignments. Know, hey, I'm in on this formation.
Jacob Aaron back in the huddle giving the signal here as far as this play. They need 4 yards for a first down.
Empty backfield.
Shotgun formation. He drops back to pass. He looks. He fires a long one. He had somebody over, but he can't get it to Michael Weber. Weber was way behind the defense.
It's almost like a little stop at hitch and go, and Aaron had plenty of time. Weber was open, and Aaron overthrew him by 5 yards.
And, boy, I tell you, Weber did a great job getting open on that play.
Yeah, just they'd run the 2 previous plays to him. So he just ran a little hitch, just hesitated, then took off the safety bit. Boy, he was open.
So it'll be a punt coming up for Eddie Gonzalez now. He drops back inside of his 30-yard line. He gets the good snap, gets his foot into the ball, and a high one, fair catch called for, and made at about the 28-yard line. Right around the 28-yard line anyway. That's an advantage when you have a good punter that can put that ball up high, that not much of a chance to return it.
That's absolutely right, and Gonzalez has that. I tell you, yeah. Vintage needs a big stop here, Ira. 2:27 left to go in the half, 14-8 down. Akilanis with the lead. They need a stop. They need to stop this team right now.
Yep.
Go into halftime, only down six.
Well, they got 31 yards on that punt and no return. So the Dons take over now. They lead at 14-8. Their quarterback, Kresnak, drops back. No, they work a draw play as Delaney carries the 35, the 40, spins away from one and is hit by another, as it was Shemkel who came over there to finally stop Jake Delaney after a first down achieved and got all the way out to the 43-yard line.
Yeah, nice little play call. The defensive lineman had their ears pinned back coming for a pass rush, ran a little draw, and Delaney made a lot of that yardage on his own.
He did. Patel goes out wide to the left side. He lines up either tight end or a wide out. He's wide out this time. They're looking to him. They're firing his way, and Patel turns around, and he first looked to the right, and it was to his left. And by the time he turned around, Ryan Riley was there to make sure that he wasn't going to catch that football.
That time, Vintage bringing four instead of three. They had Bittner on the rush as well, besides Fisher and Zach Daniels there. And Castillo.
Just inside of 2 minutes to go till halftime. 14-8. Akilanis in the lead. Vintage with the defense on the field now, trying to prevent any further damage. As quarterback Nick Kresnak from the shotgun drops back to pass, looks down the middle. He is in trouble. Flag on the play as he goes down. Getting in there for the sack was Tasia Zakovic.
Well, they had him pinned before a sack, and they got the sack, but there's a flag here toward the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. We'll see there. A hold against the offense.
You think they'll decline that penalty, Kent?
Yeah, I think they should. They took a big loss here.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to gain anything by the penalty. They look over to Dylan Leach, the coach on the sideline.
Dylan's up here. He's in the box.
Oh, that's right.
They're talking to Dylan, though, via the headphones. Yeah.
Yeah. And
decline, yep.
Yeah, as Dino says, it probably would decline. Then they did.
Brings up a long third down now.
Possession play. Crushers have to be alert for the long one now. Nick Pearson's got to watch it from back here in his, Gazletta has to watch it back here in his safety position. There's the pass out into the left flat. It's complete to Smith, and he's going to be brought down without much of a gain.
Now they're going to call a face mask on him. He had him around the helmet.
Yep, there's the flag came out. Boy, the Crushers, their first series looked so good. But as you say, after that bad snap, they have not been able to pull it back together like they did on that opening drive.
No, and on the offensive side, it's a drop pass or a missed target or a missed block.
Yeah.
And on the defensive side, it's just miscues like this. It's a grab, it's a hold, it's a face mask, and here's a big penalty here.
Big 15-yarder. Yeah. 100 seconds to go here in the first half, 14-8. Akilanis in the lead.
They call that a
five-yard penalty. So it's still third down.
Another big play here, Ira.
Yeah. Double wides either side, single setback, Delaney behind this quarterback, Kresnak, who takes the snap and drops back to pass, looks down the middle, now looks, throwing long down the middle, and the pass is caught at the 15, the 10, the 5, end zone touchdown to Chris Rogers. Boy, talk about a fine pass.
I tell you,
Chris Rogers did a nice job of catching, but credit Nick Kresnak with the pass.
Yeah, we got some miscommunication back there between Weber and Barrett.
58-yard pass play, pass and run completion, last 15 yards of which was on the run, makes it 20-8. 20 unanswered points by the Dons after Vintage had taken an 8-0 lead. So the point after coming by Hunter Ridley. There's the snap. The ball's placed down, and Ridley's kick is on the way and good. 1 minute, 11 seconds to go here in the first half, and Vintage needs to get things going their way now.
Well, yeah, they're just, you know, Alkalinis has found the weak spot in the secondary right now, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody or anything like that, but right now they're going after Weber. Both touchdowns have been right over Weber, and the third one was almost there. So they need to tighten up the defense. They need to get a better pass rush on Alkalinis as well. Krasnick has too much time back there, Ira, and he's got an arm to deliver.
Okay. Well, that only took a minute 16 seconds, but they went 72 yards in four plays. Wow.
And again, this is where, you know, you look back. If you would have, you know, caught that pass, you would have made your block. You would have, you know, made the pass on target, not overthrown. This is, you'd have the ball, you'd have the lead. You know, it's back to what Coach Leach is talking about. It's execution. It's those little things that will just drive you crazy, and the miscues like that that sets the score the way it is right now.
So ready to kick off again is Hunter Ridley. His team leading it 21-8, three touchdowns, three unanswered touchdowns by the team from Lafayette. There's a little pooch kick, and it goes back to the 32-yard line. Taking on the run and almost out to midfield as it was Joshua Robert getting that ball and getting a head of steam going there, too, as he was just running to get past the defenders coming his way and got tripped up there right at midfield.
He actually got a nice little bounce there. Just those up backs are playing too far back. They need to move up about 7 yards because Alkalinis is just trying to do a pooch kick over the front five.
From their own 49-yard line, let's find out what the Crushers can do as Jacob Aaron under center. Hands off as they try to swing out to the left side. Castro at the 45 is driven out of bounds as he gets to the 44-yard line and forced to the sideline by Alex Cortezes. He is the team's leading tackler. He's a 6'2", 210-pound senior. Led the team in tackling last week. Going out of bounds, stopped the clock. The Crushers are in Don's territory now on second down and 3 yards to go from the 40 or the 43-yard line.
Again, Vintage mixed up on personnel.
Yeah,
a lot of guys out there.
They had to call
to burn
a timeout.
Yep.
Well, at halftime, have a chance to maybe catch up some other scores. We'll check with Angelo Lyons to see what the score is in that Justin Siena game. Justin Siena at home tonight in their game against Healdsburg. So let's check with Angelo. Angelo, do you have a score yet on Justin Siena and Healdsburg?
Hey, not sure if you can hear me, but right now the score over there is 47-0. Braves in the lead.
Wow. That is really something. Justin Siena on a roll.
Yeah, that's a good rebound, and poor Healdsburg coming all the way down the two valleys there, Alexander Valley and Napa Valley, to get thumped 47-0 right now.
Yeah, that is. Last week, Justin lost at Piedmont 28-7, but Piedmont always has good athletics, you know that.
Yeah. Yep.
And, boy, what a first half the Braves have had there and in that ball game. Well, let's see what the Crushers can do here on a second down and 3 yards to go with 1 minute to go in the first half. Aaron's little lead pass is led by too much to Mo Castro. He couldn't get to it, and it's incomplete.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's really on Aaron or the back out of the backfield not being in the right spot there. That's, again, it's those little miscues that is just messing things up for the Crushers right now.
Weber has come in on the offense now. Castro stays out there. So does Galvin. Galvin hasn't carried too much. Now Castro comes back off the field. Started on, went towards the huddle, and then he was called back off.
Need to get a first down here, Ira. Third and three. They just need to get a first down, keep the ball out of Alcalanis.
Trip right, rolling to the right. Quarterback firing on the run. Ball is tipped and intercepted.
Boy.
They hit the 30-yard line. Boy, what a change from that first series.
Right off the hands of Barrett. Tipped ball. That ball was right there, and Barrett went up to catch it and went off his hands, and the ball kept on going right to an easy pick for the safety. And Alcalanis, with 52 seconds left, Ira, they could come down and score very easily. They've already proven it.
The way that Kresnak has been passing the ball, that last pass that he made on that long touchdown, that was a thing of beauty to watch. And this is only his second game on the varsity to quarterback last week. They just didn't get the offense rolling. They have double wides either side as he dropped back to pass again, getting the rush, but he's rolling out of the pocket, being pursued, and trying to elude the would-be tacklers. And he's got an opening now. He sets, he fired, and it is complete to Delaney. Delaney, the 50, the 45. There is a hit made at the 45-yard line, stopping Delaney's progress. Boy, what a scramble back here.
I tell you, Kresnak, he's showing what he's worth there, Ira. You know, obviously a great athlete. All the schools want him for baseball. And now he's got good composure back there. And the receiver's doing a good job at finding an open area. Tough to stay with your receiver when it's, 7 seconds like that.
Kresnak from the 45 of the Crushers, pass complete to Rogers down the sideline. And grabbing him by the legs is Troy Gisletta. And that stops at the 37-yard line. 20 seconds to go. So at the 37-yard line, it's going to be second down and a couple of yards to go. That's kind of academic now. They will probably be going for the end zone now. They lead it 21-8 as they send Patel out wide left. He's got some good wheels. Let's see if they look his way. And a little underpass is complete. Then the tackle was made as Lucas Eppinger picked up the first down and then was tackled right after he made the catch.
Yeah, Eppinger in the slot on the right on the double side, and the three receivers on the left just cleared out, and then he just came underneath it. Shomko did a great job staying right with him.
Yeah, just there's the crossing.
Yeah, Shomko, I tell you, I like that kid.
Yeah, well, he hustles the whole time he's on
he only knows one full speed, and that's the one speed, and it's just go.
Yeah. Well, they're at the Crusher 35-yard line now. They still have 13 seconds to go until halftime, and Alcalanis has scored three straight touchdowns to lead it 21-8.
And Ira, there's enough time. They could get two plays off here.
Yes, they could. They, being Alcalanis, with one timeout remaining. The Crushers also have one timeout remaining here in the first half.
What I mean by that is they have enough time to get two attempts into the end zone.
Last week, Crushers rushed for 199 yards and passed for 62. The Dons passed for 166 yards and rushed for 45. Quarterback dropped back to pass. Getting the rush, steps inside the pocket, now steps outside, rolls toward the sideline, getting pursued, and throws the ball, and it is caught, but no, they're ruling it incomplete now. It was intended for Chris Rogers, and he went down on his knees to try to catch the ball.
Yeah, Rogers actually stepped out of bounds, and then came back in.
I think that was the call, because it looked like he did catch the ball, but he had stepped out.
Well, they'll have time for one more play, barring a defensive penalty on the play.
There's the flag.
So the Crushers try to settle back into that first series. They start that second half. Boy, they look so good on that first series. The way they marched down the field very methodically and took the ball in for a touchdown. Mark Thomas, the referee, sorting things out now with his officiating crew of Snead, Starling, Pino, and Azevedo.
Now they're trying to find out, are they accept this penalty or not?
Yeah, with only 3 seconds to go in the half, it
Well, you want to back them up as much as you can.
Yeah, they're checking with Shamkel, who is one of the acting captains in the game. Ineligible receiver downfield. Nice indication.
That's interesting.
And
And they're starting the clock running.
If they do start the clock, then Hakalani's calls timeout with 1/10 of a second to go. I think that surprised them when they started the clock.
Well, they were quick to get that timeout called, that's for sure.
Yeah,
they want one last shot at this.
Yeah, when they started running the clock, Dons were, wait a minute, we didn't know that it was going to start until the ball was snapped. But not the case. 1/10 of a second remaining here in the first half, which means time for one play for the Dons.
You know, the Dons of Akalanas, they have obviously a talented quarterback in Kresnik, but they got some great receivers out there. All four or five of those guys can catch a ball.
Yeah.
And make good
and
run
Delaney,
after the
he's
catch.
An excellent tailback there.
Delaney can catch out of that backfield as well.
Well, the ball is moved back to the 39-yard line. I thought the Crushers had refused the penalty.
Today I look for number 10, Chris Rogers. You got Eppinger, number 19. You got Delaney coming out of the backfield. I don't see Jack Murren in there, who made that great catch for the last touchdown. I mean, they touched it two touchdowns ago.
Well, I like Patel over here on the right side. You know, as we say, he sometimes lines up as a tight end.
Right,
on occasions he goes out wide, and when he does, he's got some speed and size. And he's about 6'2", 180 pounds.
Right, and he's on Troy Gisletta has him, and you can see that, Ira. He's got him out on the height and singled up over there one-on-one.
Now the Crushers have called time.
So Vintage spends their final timeout. So both teams have utilized their allotment of timeouts here in the first half.
What seems to me is odd is that since they did end up marching off the penalty, I don't believe the referees should have started the clock.
Not till they had set the ball down anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
I thought they had set it down before walking off the penalty and that there was not going to be the penalty, but... Well, this is early in the season.
Well, yeah. Everybody's learning. Coaches, players, officials.
And it makes no difference because Akalanis was only going to have time to do one more play anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of academic as far as the clock, even though they did get it stopped.
So
with
Vintage has gone on a prevent defense here, Ira. That's why they took the timeout.
Yeah, they do. They have four backs very deep. Pass goes out in the left flat. It's complete over there to Rogers. Rogers starts down the sideline, and he's wrestled out of bounds, which will stop the game at halftime. Good job over there by Contreras, who is the safety that able to make the tackle that ends the first half. So we'll be back with some halftime and Dino Alessio's statistics. And our score here at Memorial Stadium is the Akalanis Dons from Lafayette 21 and the Vintage Crushers from Napa 7 or 8. Hey, welcome back in here at Memorial Stadium. It is halftime. Things are cooling down now weather-wise and definitely cooled down for the Crushers after a very impressive opening drive.
Yeah, Vintage came out with a power football formation where they put center guard tackle on the left, and then they went center next to the center on the right was a guard tackle tight end, and then they went two backs to the right beyond that right side with a Shamkel playing the wildcat quarterback, if you will, taking the snap, running right behind the big horses. And Ira, they had a great series, that first series they had, marched down the field, mixed in a few other formations, and let's see if Coach Leach is going to come back to that, because it works, and there's still plenty of time in the second half. But then they kind of got away with it. They were driving again, and on the second series, fourth and two, and had a bad snap for a loss of 19 yards, and that just really took the wind out of their sail, and they haven't recovered since then, both offensively and defensively.
All right, we're going to check with Angelo Lyons here in just a moment. Angelo, we'll give you time to check and see if you can get an update on that Justin score. So we'll give you about a half a minute or so before we come back to you to check on that score. And then we'll have a look at the halftime stats with Dino, but we'll see if we can get the score on Justin. I do want to mention before that the Vintage volleyball team had a really good match against Vanden. The freshman won in three games, and Celeste Calderon did a good job. Maddie McPhee, just to name a few, Ella Zanata, Kate Carr, Giovanna Gobert, Sophia Martin, they all did a nice job. Then the JVs, they win in three. Lila Cosper, Olivia Osler, Cassie Richardson, all doing a job. But the varsity went seven sets and lost 15-13 in the five sets, we should say, lost in the fifth set 15-13 for their first loss of the season. They were 2-0 going into that game. Olivia Ilsley, Sarah Gogger, the two Klungels, and came close. Their next action is Tuesday at home against Montgomery. Now, tomorrow over at Vintage, in both gyms, they have a freshman volleyball tournament going on. So if you want to see some good action, that would be the place to go. Now, we're going to go back to our studio and check with Angelo Lyons to see if we can get an update on that Justin Siena score against Healdsburg.
Hey, Ira, not quite yet. We're having some studio difficulties trying to hear in on the score. Feel free to check in a little bit, and I'll get the score ready for you.
All right, after Dino finishes his stats, we will come back to you. So here at halftime, with a 21-8 lead for the Dons over the Crushers, with the score and the statistics, is Dino Alessio.
So, a scoring summary. It was Vintage starting off with an 80-yard drive, terrific ball control drive, 12 plays, 80 yards, took up almost half of the first quarter. It was Aaron taking the ball in from 20 yards out on a run. Weber scoring the two-point conversion. It was 8-0 in favor of the Crushers. But Akalanis scored on their own long ball control drive using the pass. It was Kresnak throwing to Rogers from 5 yards out for a touchdown to end the first quarter, and the extra point made it 8-7, so Vintage led at the end of one quarter. With 4:32 to go in the second quarter, it was Kresnak completing a 30-yard touchdown pass to Murin for the Dons of Akalanis. That capped off an 88-yard touchdown drive that took only a minute and 36 seconds, with Kresnak picking up huge chunks of yardage with his brilliant passing. The extra point made it 14-8. And then with a minute 11 to go in the first half, it was Kresnak again going to Rogers, this time on a 58-yard catch and run. Capped off a 72-yard drive that took only four plays and a minute 16. And the extra point made it 21-8. Which is our halftime score. The stats for the visitors from Akalanis, their only ball carrier was Delaney. He carried four times and picked up 60 yards with a long of 31. Kresnak was brilliant passing, completing 13 out of 18 for 200 yards and three touchdowns. He did throw an interception on his first attempt of the game, but from that point on was absolutely spectacular with his accurate passing. He hit five different receivers, with Eppinger catching two balls, Rogers catching five, two of which were touchdowns. Delaney had two receptions, Smith had two, Murin had just one, but that was a 30-yard touchdown. For the Crushers, a Vintage High, they had 27 carries for 125 yards as a team, with no one player having as many as 30 yards. Aaron had 28 yards on three carries. Castro, 27 yards on five carries. Shamkel, 22 yards on 10 carries. He started out great, but that 19-yard loss on the bad snap lowered his total. Galvin had 23 yards on five carries. Weber, 16 yards on two carries. And Hatfield, 9 yards on two carries. 27 rushes, 125 yards. Aaron completed 1 out of 5 for 8 yards with 1 interception. The one completion was to Weber. First downs are dead even, 8 for Akalanis, 8 for Vintage. And penalties, each team has had 5. Vintage for 35 yards, Akalanis for 25 yards. But what has hurt Vintage in this game in the first half, Kent, is just a few key plays. That bad snap on that 4th and 2 when they had a chance to go up 2 touchdowns, and an incomplete pass that might have been completed that would have kept the drive going. If those plays go right for them, this could be a much closer game, I think.
You're absolutely correct, and that 4th and 2 bad snap really hurt them. And
as you said at the time, that was the turning point.
Yeah, it was a turning point. And then just watching them, you know, when they're forced to pass, the first time they went to pass, they had a first down and the ball was dropped. And then they made a nice catch the second time. And then the ball was overthrown the third time. But then there's been missed blocks by the lead block, and there's been missed tackles by the defensive lineman. And people in the right place, but just not making the tackle and allowing Delaney or Kresnik to get good yardage on the runs. And it's those little miscues, as you pointed out, Dino, that is the turning point in this game. It's 21-8, and it should be a better game. It should be even, or Vintage should be on top, to be honest with you. Nothing against Akalanis. They're performing. They're executing. Vintage simply is not executing. That's the difference.
Well, this is kind of what you expected from Akalanis, too. A passing team that some good accuracy, even though they had a junior getting his first varsity start, but well-schooled and did a nice job with the JVs last year.
Right, and, you know, it's so important that Vintage comes out and establishes a running game, Ira. They're going to have to come out and stop Akalanis because they're going to get the ball this second half. But they need to make a stop, and then they need to get a running game established because, let's face it, at this point in time, this early in the season, Vintage really doesn't have a strong passing game. So when they're forced to a 3rd and long, you know, the percentage of executing that pass play is going to be very high, or very low, excuse me. So they need a good running game established here in the second half. There's plenty of time. They could go down and march, get 2 scores on the board, and actually take the lead. But they got to get a stop. Their defense, secondary especially, the safeties in the corners, the receivers are getting behind them. And they need to do a much better job of buttoning that up and tightening it up on the defensive secondary.
Okay, we'll continue some conversation here in a moment, but let's go back to our KVON studio and see if we can get an update on that Justin Siena and Healdsburg ball game.
We sure can. Get this, Ira. Braves in the lead. The score is 54-0.
Yeah, it's third quarter here. They're 54-0. That's big for Justin.
Yeah, what part of the game is that in, do you know, Angelo?
I think we're around third quarter.
That's a correct start of the third. I had 54-0 from my inside source over there, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Braves are rolling. That is really good. So thank you for that update. And we'll be back with some more halftime commentary as we continue here from Memorial Stadium after this timeout and these messages. Well, we're back at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, where Akalanis is leading the Vintage Chryslers at halftime 21-8. And Kent, looking over the Akalanis schedule coming up, after tonight they play another team that was in the MEL last year, Rodriguez. Rodriguez is still in the MEL, of course, but Napa and Vintage are not. So that's going to be at Rodriguez High School next Friday night. And then the following Friday night, they will be home to Art Bishop Mitty.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule. You heard Coach Bernstead alluding to that. Are they good, tough preseason, and, of course, their league is very tough.
Yeah, and they'll be home to Archbishop Mitty. Then the week after that, they're home to El Cerrito. Then they have a bye week on the 21st of September. Then they're at Clayton Valley Charter. And we know when Napa played them how good they were. I mean, they have a real good team out of Concord. And that's where that game will be played. Then they go against Northgate of Walnut Creek. That'll be Akilanis High School. They'll be at Camp Olindo. That's very near them, just up the hill there from Lafayette. And then they go right across from Camp Olindo, basically, to Miramonte. And then they close out regular season at Alhambra. I don't know too much about Alhambra, which is located in Martinez, but some of these other teams are really pretty good teams. So that's something. Now, the Crusaders next, boy, they have a really tough schedule, too, as far as their pre-conference portion of the schedule. As they go to Stockton, and they take on Lincoln of Stockton.
Yeah, Coach Leach likes having that little rivalry with Lincoln. That's a good program over there.
Well, it's a great program. I mean, you'll frequently find them going for section championships.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Then they are home to Bellarmine Prep, and Dino was telling us about who graduated from there.
That's right. That's where Dan Pastorini, who you know, was an All-American quarterback at Santa Clara, and played many years in the NFL for the Houston Oilers and the Oakland Raiders. That was his school. He was a Bellarmine Bell.
Yeah.
And in the baseball world, Pat Burrell, who used to play for the Giants and helped them win a world championship and is now an advanced scout for the Giants, he was also a Bellarmine grad.
Yeah. Yeah, he really helped them when he came on there. He got hit some long balls, but...
Ira, that just goes to show you can't get nothing by Dino. He knows his. He knows his trivia.
Isn't that great? I mean, he's a stat guy, and he knows that.
I try to come up with one question for him each week, and I fail every time.
You know, next Friday night, a week from tonight, we're going to go back to American Canyon. They're very hospitable to us there, and so we will broadcast the American Canyon Wolves against Amador Valley game next Friday night. 6:45 will be airtime for the broadcast, while the rolling Justin Siena Braves are home to Armio of Fairfield, a team that was in the MEL and still is.
Yep, it's a big victory, obviously, for, well, the game's not over, but on their way to a big victory tonight, Justin over the Hillsburg team.
Yep.
And, you know, and they I expected kind of the same results against Army, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, that's 6:45 next Friday night. That'll also be on KVYN. And, you know, it's just about the end of the season. Speaking of next Friday night, that'll be the final game of the season for the Silverados. But let's get set for football. Let's see what the Crusaders can do as we get set for the second half action from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. Welcome in to second half football along with Kent Fry and Dino Alessio. This is Ira C. Smith, and the Crusaders are getting set to kick off. For Vintage Crusaders, it is Eddie Gonzalez teeing up the football at the 40-yard line. Delaney is back deep with Smith, and here's the approach to the football. End over end, soaring back into about the 7-yard line, taken there by Delaney. Delaney up across the 20, 25, boom! He is hit in there by Cutter Lowe at about the 27-yard line.
Yeah, good tackle by Cutter Lowe there on Delaney. That was a nice stop there. Ira, another update. Now it's 61-0 over here on the north end of town at Justin Siena. 61-0 over Hillsburg.
In the third quarter there.
Third quarter, yeah. That's where Hillsburg, you know, that's where the running clock's going to start. That's Hillsburg.
That's right.
They just want to get some points on the board to avoid the shutout.
All right, the first play from scrimmage now for Kresnack, the junior quarterback for the Dons. Play action as he rolls out. He looks downfield, fires on the run, and it's just off the fingertips. The pass was there, but Keziah Smith could not hold onto the ball. Off his fingertips, incomplete. Wow.
Well, I tell you, Kresnik, that's the first time I've seen him miss a target. And what I mean by that was Chris Rogers was wide open down the sideline. Okay. If Kresnik could have found him earlier, there would have been another 6 points on the board.
Well, Smith should have had that ball hit him in the hands.
Yeah, should have. He was dragging across from the side, from the left side, clear across to the right. Ball was just a little behind him, should have had it.
He had several options in that could have worked for him. Here he goes, second down and 10 from the 27-yard line. Rolls out to his right, has a block over there, fires down the sideline, and it's complete for a first down at the 45-yard line. Holding onto the ball is Chris Rogers, and what a job he has done. He had five receptions last week, but it was only for 29 yards.
Pretty much the same play, and this time he hit Rogers, you know, on a 15-yard hitch, basically.
He's a guy that, when needed, can punt the football. He punted four times last week, and his longest was a 61-yarder. First down, Kresnik back, and worked the draw play, handing off to Delaney as he's brought down at midfield, right at the 50-yard line.
Shomko doing a nice job from that middle linebacker spot to chase him down, holding him 2 yards.
Dominic Smith coming into the ballgame. He's a big 6'3", 225-pound junior. Now Colton Fisher comes to the sideline. Second down, 8 yards to go. Back to pass. Looking, Kresnik fires down the middle. Incomplete. Had a little mix-up on signals. Looked like that Smith made his cut to the inside on his right shoulder, and the pass went over his left shoulder to the outside.
Yeah, I think Kresnik was expecting him to go to the outside.
Coming into the offensive huddle is Jack Murren. He had that great catch back in the first half. Murren's only 5'9", but has a lot of speed. Lines up out wide to the left with Patel there. And Kresnik is back to pass, looking. Has plenty of time. Good protection. Now he's going to run out of the pocket. There's a flag on the play. And the pass is incomplete, but it's going to be a penalty against the offense, a hold against the Dons.
Yeah, that Patel, that pass is intended for Patel, who actually dropped it, should have had it. But, Ira, you're absolutely right. There's just no pressure on Kresnik. He's got plenty of time, and then when the pressure does come, he scrambles away from it. You're asking your defensive backs to stay with these receivers for about 7 seconds. That's just way too long.
Well, it's going to be third down. And while the ball is at midfield, it could be a little farther than that because of the penalty situation. So, instead of at midfield, it'll come back 15 yards.
Vintage is bringing three rushers, Ira. Every once in a while, they'll bring a fourth. But they may start to be. They may need to bring five, maybe even six, just to get pressure on Kresnik.
So the line of scrimmage is the 32-yard line, and it's still third down. So Nick Kresnik, the quarterback, drops back in the pocket. Looks, fires down the right sideline, and it's incomplete, and it is close to an interference, but no interference call on Michael Weber that time.
Yeah, Patel was looking, but the ball was already overthrown, and when Weber was trying to kind of go over his back there a little bit.
Yeah.
But boy, I tell you, did Kresnik step up in the pocket and make a nice ball with pressure all over him?
You know, and he makes his throws look so effortless, Kent.
And nice spirals, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have the help of a penalty, but that's a big stop for the Crushers right there. They did their first job is coming out, make a stop, get the ball back. Now they need to do step number two.
Get in the end zone.
Get a sustained drive, march down the field, and get in the end zone, as you say.
Well, we talked about Chris Rogers punting the ball. We're going to see his first punt tonight, and he was lucky to get that off. It was nearly blocked, and he did not get a good punt off at all. It goes to about the 42-yard line of the Crushers, but he had those four punts last week for 187 yards, including a 61-yard punt.
Yeah, this one was only 26 yards, and a great break for the Crushers.
He was rushed on that one.
Yeah, good pressure.
Almost got it blocked. So Vintage starting out okay here this second half. Defense held. A good rush put on the punter. So they will come up to the line of scrimmage and get set now into the lineup. Dane Contreras out wide to the left side. Cutter low. Wide out to the right side. Aaron hands it off. And Shamko goes across the 45. They have to get into the Dons territory at the 48-yard line to get a first down.
Ira, that's just an inside option to the left side. That's a good play. They 3.5-yard gains. You take that every time.
Cloud of dust and 3 or 4 yards. The Crushers continue to make changes after each offensive play. Angel Castillo comes back into the ball game for the Crushers. Using a tight formation this time. And they're going to have a direct snap to Shamko, and he gets across midfield, the 45, the 40. He's down to the 35, the 30, the 25, the 20. He's down to the 15 and tackled from behind. Coming up behind him there was Alex Cortez, the leading tackler for the Dons team after a 39-yard, or make it a 40-yard gain now. As they
to the 14.
They put it down at the 14-yard line. What a break right through the middle.
And it's just that power formation. And actually, what the only little twist to it is they put a wing back, a lineman at a wing back, and just motioned across. He stood right there at the middle, and they just ran right up the middle. Shomko taking that snap.
First down, 10 to go at the 14-yard line. Jacob Aaron under center. Hands it off to Moe as he tries to go right side. He is hit behind the line of scrimmage and dropped. He may have fallen forward for a yard. Moe Castro, the ball carrier. Shemko is coming back. He starts back into the lineup. Now the coach calls him back off the field. He was not in on that last play, and he will not be in on this. Now they're sending him back in. Okay. So Shemko will be in on this snap.
I think he's going to take the snap on more of a wildcat look again.
Yeah.
Look for the big power formation here.
Inside of 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. 21-8. Alkalani's in the lead. Vintage threatening here. And Shemko may take a direct snap, and he does. He powers right in the middle, down to the 10, hit there, driven back to the 12-yard line. But his forward progress got him into the 10-yard line.
So, Kent, is that actually an unbalanced line?
Well, it's sort of an unbalanced line. Then they put a lineman in the backfield as well. What they do is they line up Zach Daniels as a lead fullback.
Right.
The Crushers are heading toward that south end zone. Stiff breeze blowing out of the south toward the north. Shemko is in there as the only setback now, as they have a spread formation. And Aaron keeps the ball. He rolls out. He is going to be hit, and he's going to lose. He dropped back at about the 14 or 15-yard line. I don't know if he was ready to pass or what. He rolled out. He was looking like he was going to run with the ball, and he looked like he was looking for a receiver, and then he was hit and dropped down.
You got Gonzalez coming in for a three-point attempt here.
So he's had a 40-some yard field goal, so this one will be, from the 14-yard line.
We know he has the leg. He can put it through there. It'll be a 29-yarder here.
And the kick is off target. It went off to the left. Didn't get the boot the way he wanted it to go. So score remains 21-8, but the Crushers did show some promise on that drive.
Just got to be able to finish the drive, though, Ira. That's what Coach Leach will tell you anytime. You know, you got to get down there and in the red zone, then you got to be able to execute and finish the drive. Look for, the Vintage defense has just been asked to make another big stop here to get the ball back. The key, just can't let them put points on the board, and Vintage has shown they can move the ball.
From their own 20-yard line, Krasnick Back to pass. His pass is complete to Patel, and he's wrestled out of bounds at the 31-yard line. On the defensive side, Troy Gazleta gave up some size there. He's about 5'9 against Patel, who goes at least 6'2.
Well, that's a nice play, a nice arm. There you saw the arm of Kresnik there, Dino. It's just a nice timing out pattern, just running a 10, 12-yard out pattern. And it's all timing.
Yep. Just
ball was delivered before even the receiver turned back.
Back to pass. And they use the draw play again as it is Delaney trying to get through the middle. He's tackled at the 33-yard line.
Yeah, Shomp calling that stop again.
They have to get out to the 41-yard line for a first down. Pickup of about 3 on that play. Second down and 7. Inside of 7 minutes to go. Third quarter action. 21-8. Akilani sit with the lead, and they have the football. Single setback is Jake Delaney. Right behind Nick Kresnak has gone all the way at quarterback, and he fakes. Play action as he rolls out and fires on the run, and the pass is complete again to Lucas Eplinger, and Eplinger held onto the ball as he's dropped just shy of a first down. But Kresnak has been so much on target with that throw.
Well, there, and that was a designed rollout. They were rolling out. Vintage brought a fourth rusher. They brought Bittner on the blitz there, but he was rolling out away from him, made a nice throw and catch and delivery, just a well-executed play.
Kresnik last week was only 16 of 32. He's back to pass now, and that pass is complete to Smith, and then he's hit hard right away. Wow.
Looks like he got the first down, though.
Yep.
Yep, got the necessary first down yardage, and then that was about it.
Smith came in motion from the backside and just ran a little arrow route, and Kresnik delivered the ball to him, just a 3-yard game, but enough to get the first down.
At the 42-yard line, 5.5 minutes remain. We're in the third quarter here at Memorial Stadium.
Vintage still sitting in that 3-5-3. Three's just not enough pressure on Kresnik. He's just having his way back there.
He had over 200 yards in passing in the first half. He only had 166 total last week. He's running out of the pocket now. He does a good job of scrambling. He looks around, fires on the run, and it's incomplete, but right to Delaney, and a good job by the defender over there.
And who was that defending? The middle linebacker down the field, 15 yards, and to the sideline.
Shomko's
unreal, Ira. I'm so impressed with that guy.
He is hobbling a little bit.
Yeah, he's hurting.
He is. Oh, boy, look at that. He's kneeling. Now he goes down. Ooh, he's laying down on his back now.
It was a remarkable coach said in our pregame interview that that Chomko was a little nicked up after the game last week.
Yeah.
But the way he came out in that first drive tonight, it looked like
he was running strong.
I think he's got cramps.
You know, this early in the season, you can expect that. What has surprised me for this early in the season, including last week at American Canyon in the ball game that we broadcast there, that there are not many penalties as far as procedural penalties. You'd think there'd be some more illegal motion or procedure or something of that nature.
I think we've had one illegal shift on Vintage tonight, but it's just been more of the physical miscues instead of penalties. You're absolutely right. A hold.
The penalties that the Crushers have had have hurt them, though.
Oh, yeah, every time.
Shemkel is still down on his back here. We're nearing the 5-minute mark of the third quarter, and the score is still 21-8, which is what it was at halftime. Crushers had led in the first quarter, 8-0. Akilani's came back with 3 touchdowns.
And Ira, they did have a running clock over there on the other side of town at Justin. Final 61, Justin 61, Hillsburg nothing.
Wow. 61-0, Justin. In the game last night here at Memorial Stadium, the Vintage freshman and the Akilani's freshman played to a 6-6 tie.
And Ira, I have an update from West Sacramento as well. It's not looking good for American Canyon as they're on the receiving end.
Well, look at that. They're playing Intercom, which is
strong. Intercom is up 69-0 in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
No, I'd say that that does not look good at all. And anyway, just looking over some of my – we'll be checking. Last year, American Canyon played Intercom, a team that they had lost to during the regular season. In the playoffs. Yeah, that was in the second round of the playoffs. 53-0 they lost last year. Here we go now. Kresnak pitches out, goes to the right. Delaney on the swing out, and he is brought down. What a pursuit by Michael Weber. That is his best tackle of the game.
Yeah, Weber did a much better job at reacting, making the read, and then coming up from that safety spot. Actually, he might have been on the corner out there this time. Did a much better job at reacting on that. Yeah, they got Jacob Aaron at a safety.
Yeah, for a loss on the play, back to the 36-yard line. So that point, it will be third down in a possession play coming up now for the Dons. Kresnak back to pass, looking, getting rushed. He gets by one, and he moves inside the pocket. Lobs a little pass complete. The 45. He's to midfield and the 45. And after a first down, he's pulled down.
Boy, but just what right presence.
That Jake Delaney came out of the backfield, started down the right sideline, and gave his quarterback, Kresnak, enough time to roll out, look downfield, and find him open.
You know, Kresnak, he just doesn't panic back there. He just, scrambles, and then instead of making a run down the field, he just kind of makes a dance step here and a dance step there.
Does a great job of
scrambling. Slides to the right, slides to the left, and then finds the open receiver. And Delaney did a great job at getting the, finding the open spot.
Yeah. Murren is out wide to the left. You know, he had that good catch earlier. Let's watch him on this play. No, they work the draw play to Delaney. Delaney over the right side. Brought down at the 40-yard line. They have to get inside the 35-yard line to the 33 for a first down. Going to bring up second down. 7 yards to go. We're inside of 4 minutes now to go here in the third quarter. Score remains 21-8. That was our halftime score. The quarterback, Kresnak, who led the JVs last year to a 7-2 record, drops back to pass, looks left, fires on the crossing pattern. It's complete to
Murren.
Yeah, that was Murren.
I tell you, Murren's only had 2 catches, but both nice catches.
And that gave him a first down, too. That was a big one as far as keeping possession and keeping their drive alive here.
Murren on the left side just ran down and ran a nice curl route, just set in the open zone behind the linebackers and in between them.
And Kresnak does such a good job of finding them.
And then delivers a ball and a bullet to him. Kresnik's impressive, Ira.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Double wides out to either side, single setback, and that's Delaney. Quarterback rolls out to his right now. He lobs a pass, and it's complete inside the 5-yard line. Another touchdown. Keziah Smith holds on to the ball and just drops right back into the end zone for the 6 points.
Kresnak rolled out to his right, Ira, and Smith was the inside slot receiver on the left and just ran, not a drag, just ran a deep little post. And the safeties are nowhere to be found back there. The two safeties for Vintage are just getting picked all night tonight.
So that is their fourth touchdown of the night. And they are 3-for-3 in extra points. And here's Hunter Ridley, who's only a sophomore, to attempt the point after. There's the snap, the placement, and his kick is a dandy right through the upright. So on that drive, it took them 9 plays, but they did go the 80 yards in those 9 plays using just 4 minutes and 20 seconds off the clock to go ahead now 28-8. We'll be back with the Akalani's kickoff in a moment after this. Ridley's kick goes to Hatfield. Hatfield runs it down the middle as he gets out to the 20 and then is hit just before he reached the 25-yard line and is dropped there.
Well, Ira, I know I've... It sounds funny, 2:46 in the third, but, I mean, you can still... I'm not too sure what kind of a throwing game Vintage has. I don't believe it's a real strong throwing game. But there's plenty of time to march down and get three scores. You get 3 8-point scores, you can win this ball game.
Trips out to the right side now, as we're going to see on the pass. It is complete at the 30-yard line to Birdsall, and Birdsall is driven out of bounds as he crosses the 35-yard line, goes out of bounds right around the 36-yard line. Well, that's a start.
That's what you have to do. Throw a little hitch on the outside, pick up a first down, stop the clock. Let's see if they're going to do the same thing here. Clock starts again.
Jacob Aaron, who is the quarterback for the Vintage Crushers, is just a sophomore. He's about 5'11", weighs 180 pounds, and he had been working under center. Now he goes into a shotgun formation, and their uneven line, unbalanced to the left side, and he will, before getting the snap, take a timeout. So Crushers call a... timeout here in the third quarter with 2:12 remaining and a 20-point deficit facing them now. They have it tough next week, going to Stockton to take on Lincoln of Stockton. The Akalanis will be at Rodriguez next week. The fellows that we should mention on the sidelines when we have a chance, Kent, that we haven't said much about yet, is Bruce McCall in his 45th year of helping out the schools for free.
Yep. Napa Valley Physical Therapy started with Bruce McCall, then Glenn Hughes, and now Rob Brandon. And boy, what a job they do. They just give their time to the community. This is their time they give to the community services, helping out all the athletes at both Vintage and Napa, all athletes.
Double wides each side. Pass into the right flat is incomplete, I think. It was intended out there for Mo. That's Mo Castro. But just couldn't reel it in. It was just off his fingertips. But it was not... fumbled anyway. He just couldn't grab it, so it was incomplete. Camus Barrett checks back into the lineup for Birdsall there for the Vintage Crushers, who send two wides to the left side and three out to the right. Empty backfield now for the quarterback, who drops back to pass, sets a screen, and it's tipped and is incomplete. Nearly intercepted there by Nicholas Betancourt. Betancourt, a 6'2 senior, nearly had the ball tipped his way.
Yeah, broken up there. They're trying to run a little slip screen, and the defender batted away, and then it almost picked off by a linebacker down the field a little bit.
That's going to bring up third down, so possession play now for the Crushers.
This is what I mean, Ira. I don't think Vintage's passing game is that strong. They have plenty of time just to keep that running game going and march down. But now they've been forced to throw. Now they're really forced to throw at third and 10. Empty bat. Well, one back.
Yeah. Aaron rolls out to his right. Gets the rush. Steps inside. Now he's going to run with the ball. He's at the 40. Hit by one. Hit by another. First one to hit him and bring him down is Drew Campillo, who is a 5'9 senior. It's going to be about 5 yards or so shy of a first down. Well, at least he did not get sacked back there. They were converging all around him when he dropped back into the pocket, and then they penetrated the pocket. So Aaron had to run out of the pocket and was able to pick up some yardage. So that's fourth down. They're going to go for it. They need 3 yards to pick up a first down. They have the ball in their own territory.
Well, that defensive line for Akalanis is just teeing off right now, yeah. Led by number 51, Alex Cortesis. He's coming hard from that backer spot.
There's a pass, and it is complete. And that's a first down, the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Michael Weber. Wow, a slant in pattern that worked to perfection for the Crushers as Jacob Aaron was able to find Weber on the crossing pattern.
Well, Vintage was able to catch Akalanis in a blitz, Ira. They were bringing six, and Aaron found Weber in the open spot there and has made a nice move on the safety to slip by him and go for the score.
A 56-yard pass play and run. Most of that was on the run, but good play and well executed by Weber then on the receiving end. There's the extra point attempt on the way, and it is good. So the Crushers add on to the scoreboard, scoring since early in the first quarter. They go 76 yards in five plays using 147 is all. So it didn't take them very long to get down in there thanks to that pass play. So it will be kickoff time for Eddie Gonzalez. Been doing a nice job of kicking the ball. He was a kicker last year and picked up right where he left off. He also does their punting. That makes it 28-15 now. Akalani's in the lead by 13 points. Crusher's getting some momentum now. 1 minute to go here in this the third quarter of play. Here's Gonzalez, set to kickoff. Back deep are Delaney and Smith. There's the kick. Going back, Delaney will take it at the six-yard line. It's got blockers ahead. The 20, 25, goes through a couple defenders and gets out to the 30 and then is dropped by Nick Pearson, a junior, at the 32-yard line.
Well, Ira, just now the question is, can Vintage stop Akalanis? Can they stop the quarterback, Kresnack, who's just been having a great night? Nick Kresnack, the junior, just picking this Vintage secondary apart, and the receivers are doing a great job at finding the open spots.
So the quarterback, Kresnick, will have a single setback, and that'll be behind him. That is Jake Delaney. He has double wides each side as he takes the snap. He hands off the work a little draw play to the right side. Tried to do a trap over there and got about 5 yards on the run. Maybe make it 6 yards now as they spot the ball down at the 37-yard line. Well, that would make it just 5 yards then because they have to get to the 42-yard line. Half a minute to go in the third quarter.
Well, you got Shomko out of there, that middle backer, and that's why they're trying to run the ball. Also to eat up the clock as well. You got Bryce Eade now in there at the middle backer spot. 3-5-3 still for Vintage.
Yeah. A pass goes out in the right flat to Rogers. That was short gainer for them. That was a live ball over there, too, when he was behind the line of scrimmage, receiver.
Yeah, a little slip screen there is what they call that. Weber doing a good job at making the read and reacting very quickly, so it's going to be a third and one.
That ends the third quarter here at Memorial Stadium. At the end of three quarters, it's the Akalanis Dons from Lafayette, 28, and the Vintage Crushers of Napa, 15. We'll be back after this. Well, as we get set for the fourth quarter, the official, Mark Thomas, who is a referee now, placed the ball at the 41-yard line. So it's third down. They only need 1 yard to pick up that first down. The Dons are in their own territory. Nick Kresnack takes the snap and is going to run with the ball. He quarterback, and he fumbles the ball. He tried a quarterback's keeper on the play, a quarterback draw, and fumbles the ball. The Crushers have recovered.
It's a big turnover, Ira. The second turnover for Akalanis. First time Vintage could not capitalize. If they need to capitalize here, they got the ball in their own territory at the 44.
Yeah, they came close. Vinny's got way down deep in the territory after that first turnover on the pass interception, but then had a bad snap on fourth down.
Right. Well, I should say Akalanis territory at 44, but they had a big turnover there. See if they can capitalize back in that power formation.
Yeah. And Weber It starts to the outside. They grab him. They may have grabbed him around the face mask.
There's a face mask.
They bring him down, but it was with the help of the face mask as Alex Cortez, who, as I mentioned, is their leading tackler, but that time just grabbed the face mask of Weber.
And that should be blatant. That should be a 15-yarder there.
Yeah, I think so. We'll see what Mark Thomas thinks.
Wow, they're only marking off a 5-yard penalty.
They're ruling it as incidental. An incidental face mask.
Wow.
So that puts the ball at the 39-yard line instead of the 29-yard line. Akalani's leading 28-15. Vinny's trying to get the momentum their way. They use a trip out to the right side. And the bad snap. And the quarterback picks it up. Aaron looks. He reverses his field now as he goes to the left. And now the right. He looks. He's going to run with the ball now. He's the 40. Does a little jute step. He goes to 45. Looks like he picks up a first down as he's being tackled around the 33-yard line. Very close to a first down. Avoiding a sack in some way. Picked up about 10 yards. About 5 yards.
Ira, I tell you, that shows a lot of poise. That young man right there just growing a lot just on that one play right there, using his natural ability, just letting his natural ability take over, not thinking about it, making a great play out of nothing.
Yeah, and just a sophomore. Let's see if he's able to go back in there. He was huffing and puffing as he came over to the sideline.
Holding against the defense is called.
Oh, holding too. So that advances the ball even farther toward the north end zone. And that's where the Chrysers are heading now. Ball goes to, look, it'll probably be around the 26-yard line when they finally place it down. They have not done so yet. Well, the quarterback, Aaron's going to stay in there. He comes back onto the field. I thought he was really huffing and puffing when he came to the sideline after that run. The ball is at the 29-yard line of the Dons. We're just underway here in the fourth quarter. 28-15 is the score. Akalani's has the lead. Vintage Chrysler with the ball as they come to the left side. The 20, 15, 10, 5. Quarterback, he takes it into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacob Aaron. What a run.
Yeah, nice little play. It was an option keep.
I thought he was tired, and boy.
Yeah. Option keep instead of following his fullback, Ira, on the two-hole up the right side. He just cut back to the left, saw a little opening, made one cut, faked a defender, and took off for the end zone. Did a nice job getting in the end zone.
Oh, that was a pretty play by the sophomore quarterback, Jake Aaron. That makes it a 7-point deficit, but the extra point coming up now to get him back within six if he can make it. It's Eddie Gonzalez. There's the snap, the placement. Gonzalez's kick. Ooh, it is no good. It was shanked and went off to the left side.
Well, that was huge because now it's still a 7-point game.
Yeah, that means you have to decide if you score again, do you go for one or two?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Last night in the freshman game here at Memorial Stadium, it was a 6-6 tie. Neither team made their extra point after scoring a touchdown. Vintage will get set to kick off. Vintage took advantage of the turnover at that time.
Absolutely.
After the quarterback had fumbled the ball. And they go 44 yards and only three plays, though, and took only 46 seconds off the clock. So we've got a lot of time remaining, 11 minutes and 8 seconds to go here in the fourth quarter. 28-21, Alcalani's in the lead. Vintage getting set to kick off, and Eddie Gonzalez will have the wind behind him on this. And it's a stiff breeze blowing from the south end zone to the north end zone, from our right to our left as we're on the west side of Memorial Stadium. There's the whistle, and here's the approach to the football. It's end over end. It's going back to the 5-yard line, taken there by Delaney. Delaney fakes to the right, goes to the left. He's hit at the 25, shakes off that tackler, goes on to about the 30, and is hit by two more, and is finally dropped at the 31-yard line by Bryce Ead, a 5'11 junior. So at that point, the 31-yard line, that is where the Dons get their first down and 10 yards to go. The Crashers looking much better here in the second half than they did in that second quarter. Then he's led 8-0 at one time, trailed 21-8 at halftime. There's a snap and a handoff to Delaney, and he's hit there. Yes. For a yard loss, or maybe they might spot the ball right back at the line of scrimmage, the 31-yard line.
Big stop by Zach Daniels playing that right defensive tackle.
The defense tightening up for the Vintage Crashers.
Ira, quick final from West Sacramento. Intercom all over American Canyon, 69-0 final. Worst loss in American Canyon history.
Wow. Back to pass. He's rolling out of the pocket again. Looks, turn, fires a long one down the field, and it is underthrown, intended for Jake Delaney. It's a pretty good coverage back there by Dane Contreras, and a couple others were back in that vicinity too.
Yeah, good big bull rush by Colton Fisher there, big number 73. Put more pressure on the quarterback now, which Vintage needs.
But still, Kresnack is able to scramble.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Just a junior. This is only his second varsity game. And this is a possession down coming up now on third down. And 10 yards to go from their own 31-yard line. Single setback, Delaney. He goes in motion to the right side. Back to pass. He looks down the middle. Fires down the middle. Incomplete. Oh, it was there, but Lucas Eppinger could not hold on to it. Just trickled off of his fingertips.
That's really the first drop we've seen by any of these receivers of Akalanis, which is another, Ira, big stop by Vintage on downs, forcing them to punt with 10 minutes to go here. Vintage is going to get the ball back. Momentum has definitely shifted to the Burgundy here.
I've been trying to find Shemkel on the sideline to see if he is healthy. If that was it.
They're still working on him and working on his knee or leg down there. I can't quite see.
There's the kick high coming down, and it bounds, and the Crashers, they hold on to it, I think. There was a little scramble there. They fielded the ball at the 30, and it bounced away, and Mo goes back here and grabs it at the 25 yard line. Yeah. That's Mo Castro.
Castro and Weber need to do a much better job at communication there. That ball, they let it drop right in front of them, Ira. They should have come up 3 yards, make the catch, and they could have gained some yards.
39 yards on the punt. Well, we've reached the 10-minute mark here in the fourth quarter, 28-21. Akalani's in the lead. Crashers with the ball, down by 7 points. The junior quarterback, Aaron, takes a snap. Keeps the ball, starts to roll outside, and then slips and goes down at the 30. Got back to the line of scrimmage, and that was about it. So that was not a broken play. That was designed for the quarterback to keep. As he faked into the line, rolled out, and made his cut down there, but the defense read it well.
I tell you, quarterback for Vintage, Ira, the sophomore, Jacob Aaron. He's really, in the midst of this game, he's just grown immensely here. He's starting to show poise, composure. He's taking control of his team, doing a great job.
Double wides as faked the handoff again and kept the ball and maybe got a yard that time. He was just trying to ease over that right tackle spot there and try to go between the tackler and the guard on the right side. But the hole was plugged up very quickly there by the Dons.
Ira, I'm not playing Monday morning quarterback, but I tell you where Vintage has had success running the ball is out of that power formation, and we didn't see it this series, and now they're faced with a long third and eight.
Bryce Eade is back into that lineup. Well, we'll find out if the sophomore quarterback is going to pass in this situation. He's going to be under center. He is shifted sometimes under center and sometimes back in the shotgun formation. The Crashers are going to take a timeout now.
Yeah, they were confused back there in the backfield.
This is an important position for the Chrysler.
Really, and I really kind of expect him to come out in that power formation and, you know, pick up. That's where they're picking up 4 or 5 yards, 7 yards at a crack. The other formations are only getting one or two, unless it's a, you know, a broken play or something.
And Kent, they certainly have enough time to run the ball.
There's absolutely, Dino.
There should be no anxiety.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. They still have plenty of time back in the third quarter to march down the field, put three scores on here, and they were able to get a stop, and they got the turnover and capitalized and scored, and now we have a ball game. But there's plenty of time here.
Well, we'll find out what the Chrysler's come up with on this third down and 8 yards to go. They need to get out to the 40-yard line to achieve their first down, and the ball is back at their own 32-yard line. The quarterback, just a sophomore, 5'11", 180 pounds. Last week he had about 14 yards in rushing, and he's been doing a heck of a lot better tonight. He is he's going back to a shotgun formation now, set to go, takes the snap, looks down the middle. His pass is wild, incomplete. I think it was intended for Cutter Lowe, who was doing a crossing pattern there, but it was just not really to anyone.
No, and Jacob, he rushed that. He had more time than he thought. He was expecting a big rush. He had plenty of time to throw that ball, and he rushed it.
So we'll find out what kind of field position that the Dons come up with as the Chrysers are forced to punt, and Eddie Gonzalez comes onto the field. He drops back all the way to his 20-yard line, gets the snap, high boot, coming back to the 30, and muffed back there, scramble for it, and it looks like that it was Dane Jensen, a sophomore from Akilanis, that was able to cover the ball.
Well, that ball went right to him, didn't it, after the muff?
Yeah.
Fortunate bounce. But a flag, Ira, has been thrown. I don't know if someone said something out there. I'm not quite sure.
Boy, this is going to be a critical call.
Yeah.
We did have one unsportsmanlike conduct penalty called earlier
in
the game.
The way that flag was thrown is definitely an unsportsmanlike.
The officials are conferring. Mark Thomas, the referee, Lem Sneed, the umpire, Nate Starling, the linesman, Javier Pino, the line judge, and Joe Azevedo, the back judge.
Vintage seems to be indicating that it's against Akilanis, and Akilanis is dropping way back at their huddle.
Yeah, Akilanis thinks it's against them, too.
It's a personal foul, 15-yarder. Someone said something.
Well, they'd get unsportsmanlike conduct if that's the case, so they must have.
Yep, and that's what happened here, Ira.
Yeah. Okay, so the ball goes all the way back to the 20-yard line. And here comes Nick Kresnack, the quarterback. Jake Delaney positions himself right behind him. And Kresnack keeps the ball. He tries to roll out. He slips by one and slips by another. And then is brought down finally. Boy, the Chrysers had trouble making the tackle there. They had him for a loss a couple times.
Yeah, Galvin had him in the backfield, and he slipped right out of that tackle. Vintage still sitting in all night long. Three down linemen, five backers, one safety in the two corners, 3-5-3. But they need to put pressure. Akilanis trying to run the ball, eat some time off the clock. Vintage down to one timeout.
Just over 7.5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. Kresnack pass incomplete. Used a crossing pattern there with Anil Patel, the intended receiver. So when he lines up as a wide receiver instead of a tight end, you have to watch out for him because he's good on that crossing pattern. Good at holding on to the ball if they get it in his reach.
Ira, a big play here for the Vintage Crushers. They need to stop here.
Third down, 7 yards to go. So we'll see what happens. Double wide out either side. Kresnack back to pass. Looks. Now he's going to. And they finally get to him and bring him down for a sack. think that's the first sack of the night that they've had on him, and they've been all around him, but he's been able to get away from him. That time they had him boxed in.
Yep.
There was no place for him to go.
Yeah.
To his right was a crusher. To his left was a crusher. In front of him was a crusher, and coming in from behind, guess what? Another crusher.
And it looked like they did that with just the three linemen, Kent. I didn't see any of the linebackers.
Yeah, Kresnik stepped up in the middle instead of usually he steps to the side steps here, and he stepped up the middle, and big Colton Fisher was there, and then the other two tackles came in and closed in on him. Good job, defensive line. Good job, defensive crushers.
Ridley drops back inside the 15 to get the punt away. And it's high. It's wobbly. It's coming down to midfield. Takes a high bounce and bounces into Crusher territory at the 48-yard line. And it will be downed at that point by Scott Brighton, 6'2 senior.
27 yards on the punt.
6.5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. 28-21. Akilani's in the lead. Vintage Crusher offense comes on the field, being led by their sophomore quarterback, Jacob Aaron, a 5'11", 180-pounder, has them in the huddle. As they get set, they break from the huddle.
This is the drive of the game here, Ira.
And it's a tight formation, set back right behind the quarterback, who is under center. And they give on the second man coming through, and he gets inside the 45 down to the 42-yard line. That was Drew Hatfield. Hatfield lined up on the right side, and use a counter play. Yes, they fake to the one guy, and then on the counter, gave to Hatfield.
Double tight formation, wing right, ran the counter back to the weak side.
And that's where Hatfield had positioned himself, the wing on that right side. Crusher's now second down and just a yard to go for a first down. They are in Don's territory at the 42-yard line.
Official timeout. Looks like, I don't know if it's equipment.
They have Zikovic in that backfield. Page Zikovic, 5'7", 175-pound junior. And they have two setbacks. Quarterback Aaron hands off to Zikovic, and he's across the 40, has a first down to the 35-yard line. A power run there by the junior.
And that's what they need to do. Vintage has more success when there's the power formations, set of doubles or trips, and they're in that double tight or the unbalanced, so they have more success.
Hatfield is back into the lineup. Now he was out for that last play. Getting the call from the sideline, Jacob Aaron. The sophomore goes into the huddle, relates the call. As they break from the huddle, Hatfield will go to the wing on the right side. They have a wide out to the left side. As Aaron hands off, and they stumble as they give to Castillo. The give was to Hatfield again, coming from that wing position, right side. And he stumbled as he was trying to make his cut into the line and get the benefit of the blocker there, but could not.
Here comes your power formation now, Ira. Zach Daniels coming in. He comes in as a running back.
And here comes
back.
Michael Weber.
Yep.
And that means Zikovic will come to the sideline. 4:45 to go. We're in the fourth quarter. Crusher's down by 7. Shotgun formation this time, and the quarterback keeps the ball. 38. Down to the 35-yard line and 30-yard line, and brought down inside the 30-yard line as Aaron from the shotgun formation just looked for some blockers in front of him. He has to get down to the 25-yard line for a first down. He took the ball to the 29-yard line. This is a third down play. The Crushers in four down territory. Power formation to the right. Man goes in motion to the left. The play is to the left as the nothing really opening up there as the quarterback.
See if they stay with it, Ira. It's going to be 4th and 1, 3 minutes and 50 seconds to go. Vintage with only one timeout left, Ira. They need to keep getting in and out of that huddle very quickly, get their play calls in, get up to the line of scrimmage quickly.
Now, the quarterback had handed off to Bertzel on that play. Bertzel had his jersey ruffled up, Aaron, and just needed to make sure that was Bertzel that had carried. He gets it to the 26-yard line. They need a long one. They can get it. And they hand it off to Zekovic, and he is close to it.
Wow.
They drive him back, though. Looks like his forward progress did dent the first down. This was on a fourth down play, and it depends on where they spot the ball.
Yeah, that's a first down.
Zekovic.
They need to have the next play ready to go before this clock starts.
And
now there's a flag.
There is a flag, and I think that's going to go against the defense. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Wow.
That goes against the Akalani's Dons.
That's just opening your mouth. That's on Delani.
That's
on
going to be half the distance.
That's on 33 Delani, I believe.
That's going to be half the distance.
Oh, excuse me. Cole Murga of Akalani's, Ira, number 33. He just spouted off. Said something to the official, and the official said, okay, we'll just call a flag here.
All right, that goes through the 13-yard line. The ball is at the 13-yard line, where it's first down for the Vintage Chryslers. 3 minutes, 13 seconds to go.
Timeout,
fourth quarter.
Timeout, Akalani's.
28-21, the score. Akalani's has the lead. Vintage was first to score tonight. They got their six and then went for two and got it to get eight. Then they made an interception, got right down to the goal line again, and on fourth down, they needed less than a yard to go to get the touchdown, but a bad snap sent the ball all the way back to the 20-yard line. And from that point on, Chryslers had a tough time of regrouping. They have here in the second half, and they're shifting personnel around a bit. Jesus Galvin, who has not been called on much in the second half, is back into that offensive huddle now for the Vintage Chryslers. Getting their instructions now with the ball down at the 13-yard line. The defense for the Dons coming back onto the field now to get set up. Here come the Chryslers on this first down, 10 yards to go for Vintage. Quarterback, just a sophomore. Hands off as they go to the left side of the 10 and then driven out of bounds. Wow. On that handoff, they gave the ball over to Mo Castro, and he went on a sweep to the left, but just had trouble making his cut. When he did, he got to the 10-yard line and then was driven out of bounds.
Running that jet sweep, but he was able to get out of bounds and stop the clock. Now with 3 minutes and 7 seconds, Ira.
Avery Hall comes in at a tight end spot now for the Chryslers. Jacob Aaron spells it J-A-C-O-B, where there's a Jacob Bittner on the team. He spells it J-A-K-O-B. Chryslers send Bertzel out wide to the right side, and slotting inside of him is Robert, putting a man in motion. And the quarterback keeps the ball. The sophomore gets inside the five, the four, the three, down to a two, and he goes down at the 2-yard line. Oh, a good block in there by Zekovic to help the quarterback Aaron get down deep.
I think he picked up the first down, Ira.
Yeah, that's a first down is right, Dino. 2 minutes, 58 seconds, Ira. Clock's going to start here real soon.
Chryslers are down by 7, 28-21, just inside of 3 minutes to go. Jacob Aaron has the play from the sideline as he goes back into the huddle.
Power formation, Ira. You got Zach Daniels lined up as a back there.
Yeah, you've got to Eid in that backfield. Shotgun formation. Quarterback keeps the ball. He starts right, cuts into the left, now tries to scramble in, and he gets in. Let's see if his knee was down. He got into the end zone, but his knee may have been down just before he crossed that line.
They're calling it right on the goal line. Literally
right,
on the goal
line. He thought he was in as Aaron thought he had penetrated that goal line. He's boasting for the crowd. Let's get some cheering going here. Pretty good turnout by the vintage crowd. A little disappointment as far as those coming over from Lafayette tonight. Not too many on the visitor's sideline.
Daniels, Fisher, Castillo coming out, so they're going away from the power. Let's see if they put Jacob Aaron underneath the center and run a quarterback sneak here.
Second down, goal to go at the, inches away from the goal, under center. And he keeps the ball, and he goes over his left tackle, and they're not sure. No, he did not get in. Boy, he needed inches, and that defense just really stiffened up there and did not allow any hole to open up.
Still got one timeout left.
Boy,
minute
like
30.
I wish we had a sideline reporter who could be down on the goal line for us there, because that sure looked like he got that ball over the ball.
I thought so in the last two times.
Yeah.
In the meantime, less than a minute and a half to go here in the fourth quarter. 28-21 the score. The sophomore quarterback, Jacob Aaron, has him in the huddle. Now they break out, and he's going to be under center
again. Three backs.
Jack Odell is the center. He will snap the ball. And the handoff, and going in for the touchdown is Jesus Galvin. Off to the left side and takes it into the end zone.
Well, Ira, do you go for one, or you go for the win and get two? There's a minute and 5 seconds left. You're down by 1 point.
I think that was Galvin. 28-27. Let's see.
I would go for the 2 points.
You would go for?
I would go for two.
Well, Coach Leach seems to be reading your mind.
It's a one-point game, 28-27.
He's going for it, Dino.
And well, they've already missed an extra point, so there's no guarantee that they would make the extra point if they kicked it.
Crushers are going for the two-point conversion and the lead in the game. They line up in a power to the, now they're shifting around. They have a full house backfield.
They have to burn a timeout, Ira.
There was a flag drop, but that may have been after they called a timeout. Illegal substitution is called against the Crushers.
So did they break the huddle with 12 players or something of that sort?
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm not sure, but that...
I only count 11.
That's what the referee had indicated there, Mark Thomas, the referee.
So you count 12, Kent?
I did.
Oh.
Yeah. 1 minute, 5 seconds to go. 28-27, Akalani's.
They started the 30-second clock. They need to hurry and get up here on the ball. They're going to go for one here now.
Wow.
That's a big penalty.
Yeah. Well, we know that Eddie Gonzalez has the leg. It's going to be a 25-yard extra point attempt. They have to make this perfect. Oh, the bad snap. And the kick is off to the
There's a flag.
There is a flag down, though. The kick was no good, but there is a flag.
Could that have been roughing the kicker, Kent?
I think it is.
And the penalty is against the defense. It's against Akalani's. So the Crushers will have another opportunity, and that would probably move the ball halfway to the goal, which would be a little farther than the 3 yards out, but the officials, again, are conferring.
If they get the ball back to the 3 yard line, I think they should go for two.
It won't be the three, I don't think, because that was back at the 15 yard line.
Oh, half the distance.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're still sorting it out there, the officials. And, oh, my gosh, they're worried about another. Some of the captains of the Dons are pushing some of their own players back.
They've got at least two players who are incredibly irate and risking another unsportsmanlike penalty, and their own teammates are having to restrain them and tell them to calm down.
So the officials are just huddling up there.
All five of the officials are discussing the scenario here now. And it's a 28-27 score right now on the scoreboard. Akalani's has the advantage of 1 point.
And
but Vintage has the opportunity to tie it up or try for the lead. Yeah. And look who is coming in for the Crushers. Shamko, he has been injured. He was injured in the second half of the game. He had a great first quarter. Now he has come back out.
Waving the flag off.
They have picked up the flag. They are waving it off.
Wow.
So no penalty. Oh, after all of that. And
so one of two things must be true. Either they didn't actually run into him, or one of them tipped the ball. And, of course, if you tip the kick, then you can run into the kicker.
Yeah.
And the kick did go wide, so maybe it
was
tipped.
Well, the white hat is the one that dropped the flag. That's the referee, Mark Thomas.
And Ira, the snap was there, but the snap was bobbled just a little bit. That was through the timing off.
Well, Vintage is going to have to try
an onside.
Yep.
They
really have
over
no
a minute
choice
to go. So if they're successful with an onside, they'll have an opportunity. Otherwise, the Dons can just run out the clock. Vintage has one timeout remaining. Akalani's has two timeouts remaining. We're here in the fourth quarter, 28-27. Akalani's in the lead. Crushers gave up three touchdowns after they had scored one. There's an onside kick attempt, and the ball is covered by the Dons. They had been schooled on how to play an onside kick.
Well, we know they have many players on their team with excellent hands, too.
Now, a couple finals that were in. Justin Siena, a big win, 61-0 over Healdsburg. And it was Intercom over American Canyon, 69-0. The Dons get the ball with a minute, 4 seconds to go, right near midfield at the 49-yard line in their own territory.
Akalanis can just run out the clock. Ira, yep. Vintage only has one timeout left. All they need to do is take a knee.
Well, we'll see what Kresnak, the quarterback, does. Drops back, and that's what he's doing. He's just taking the knee. He can do that a couple more times, and that will be it.
Vintage has just one timeout remaining.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're even going to spend that timeout. As the Chrysler's cannot do anything but watch as the team will line up. The Dons will snap the ball, and the quarterback will put the knee down, and that will run out the clock. So this will be the final time that he has to put the knee down. Gets the snap, puts the knee down. Chrysler's can't do anything, and the clock will run out, and that's going to be it. Well, a comeback attempt fell a little bit short. Vintage did win the JV game. 27-18 was the final in the JV game as they go 2-0. But the varsity will drop now to 0-2, albeit close game here with Akalani's coming through with their first win of the season against one loss. And in a sign of good sportsmanship, the teams line up at the 50-yard line, go out there and shake hands as they come through with their greetings at the end of the games.
Well, Ira, I tell you, those that down at that goal line, you alluded to it. From here, of course, we're at midfield and upstairs. It sure looked like the runners were over the goal line on those last two plays on the quarterback sneak and the play before, but we weren't down there, obviously.
Yeah, I heard them then when they had the ball at the 3-yard line going for the 2-point conversion.
Right. And then the illegal substitution was the call, and it got backed up 5 yards, and then a bobbled snap, just a slight bobble, which threw the timing off. So, again, you know, in your interview with Coach Leach, we heard him say execution, 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 and tonight was a story of non-execution. There was drop passes, there was passes overthrown, there was bobbled snaps, there was missed tackles, and it's almost like turnovers, if you will. You have to be able to execute on these plays because they only, you know, they made a miraculous comeback, being down so far and brought it back to a 28-27 ball game, but on the short end, and to think that if they could have executed all those little miscues that Coach Leach was talking about earlier, it would be a completely different ball game.
Well, we'll be back with our wrap-up, and Dino Alessio will take a look at the final statistics in tonight's contest. As we had a good JV game, huh? The vintage JVs looked really good, and Coach Kyle Hsu is in his 12th year as the head JV coach, and last year they were 6-1-1 and 4-0 in their league. They are 2-0 overall this year. Of course, they haven't started league play yet. Again, that as far as JVs are concerned. We'll be back and take a look at the final stats and some comments and our players of the game from the varsity action. Final score, Akalani's 28, Vinny's 27. Back after these messages. You're in tune with KVON, 1440 Napa, California. The voice of the North Bay wine country and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. This is Ira C. Smith along with Kent Fry. Dino Alessio is our statistician, and boy, does he have a story to tell tonight. Are you ready, Dino, or are you just finalizing some
you
of
need
the...
two more minutes.
Needs a little more time. So go over to Kent Fry. It looked like the turning point was going to be early in the game when the Crushers, who were leading 8-0 and had the ball down at the 1 yard line on fourth down and trying to get the ball in, and had a bad snap that went all the way back to the 20 yard line. And from that point on, it looked like that Akalanis was going to control things, but the Crushers then in the second half, particularly late in the third quarter and the fourth quarter for the most part, played much better football.
Yeah, they came out fighting in the second half, Ira, because the first half, after that first drive, they were just nowhere to be found. And the second half, they came out, made a great game out of this. And Shomko getting hurt didn't help. And, you know, Coach Leach will be the first to tell you, hey, you can't pin it on one guy. You can't rely on one guy. It's the next guy up. And I believe that, too. But, I mean,
you know, he took some bangs.
Shomko on that last drive with those last two plays, he's in the end zone. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. You know, the guy plays hard, and he's playing on the field all the time. So that was not
and it looked like the Jacob Aaron got in there. But, you know, we're not down there where the officials are.
Right,
we're not.
Right. And Jacob Aaron, I was impressed with Jacob Aaron being a sophomore. You know, the first game at home here.
Well, regardless of class, junior, senior, whatever, he was.
Well, he came out, and you could see his whole demeanor change in that second half. And I tell you, the play it did is when he scrambled for those 5 yards, and he ended up running about 25 yards just to get those 5 yards. He became a man, basically. What I'm saying is this: he just took charge right after that and did a great job. I thought he did a super, super job the second half.
Well, I think Dino is ready with our statistics of the ball game. This might help us when we select our players of the game. So, Dino, let's take a look at the scoring tonight.
So it was 21-8 at halftime in favor of the Dons of Akalanes High School of Lafayette. Akalanes scored with 2 minutes 51 seconds to go in the third quarter. It was Smith pulling in a 30-yard touchdown reception from Kresnak, Kresnak's fourth touchdown pass of the game. Ridley made the extra point, and it was 28-8 at that point. But then the Crushers mounted a furious comeback. First it was Weber pulling in a 56-yard pass and run for a touchdown from Aaron. Gonzalez made the kick, and it was 28-15. Then it was Aaron taking the ball in, his second rushing touchdown of the game, this one from 29 yards out. The kick was missed. It was wide left, and the score was then 28-21. And then it was the Crushers scoring with a minute 5 to go. Galvin taking the ball in from inches out. And the Crushers again went for the extra point, the one-point conversion. The kick was no good, due primarily to a high snap, and the final score was 28-27. For the Akalanes Dons, they did not run the ball a whole lot tonight. Good yardage made by Delaney. He did pick up 66 yards on 10 carries. Kresnak carried 5 times for a net minus 3, and that was because he took a couple of kneel downs at the end of the game. Rodgers had one carry for 4 yards, 16 rushing attempts, 67 yards for Akilanis. Kresnak, terrific passing. He had 200 yards at halftime. He finished with 302 yards, 20 of 32, 302 yards, one interception, four touchdowns. Eppinger caught three balls. Rodgers caught six. Two of them were for touchdowns. Delaney caught three. Smith caught four. One of them was for a touchdown. Murin had two catches. One of those was a touchdown. And Patel had one catch for Akilanis. For the Vintage Crushers, they had 47 rushing attempts as a team for 244 yards. The leading rusher was Aaron with 75 yards on 12 carries, two touchdowns of 20 and 29 yards. Shomkel had 13 carries for 68 yards. Castro, 7 for 31. Galvin, 6 for 24 and a touchdown. Hatfield, 4 for 19. Weber, 2 for 16. Zyglewicz, 2 for 7. Birdsell, 1 for 4 yards. A total of 8 different ball carriers for the Crushers. Carried 47 times, 244 yards. Aaron completed 3 of 10 for 76 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Weber had 2 of the catches for 64 yards. Birdsell caught 1 for 12. Team numbers, the Akilanis Dons had 13 first downs. The Vintage Crushers had 14 first downs. Akilanis converted on 4 of 8 third downs. Vintage converted on 3 of 9 third downs and failed on 1 fourth down attempt. Akilanis, 3 punts for an average of 30 yards. Vintage, 3 punts for an average of 31 yards. A very even game. Akilanis had 2 fumbles, lost 1. Vintage had no 2 fumbles, but recovered them both. Akilanis racked up 10 penalties for 87 yards. Vintage just 5 penalties for 35 yards. But the statistics bear out that it was a very, very even game, although Akilanis doing most of their damage through the air and Vintage doing most of theirs on the ground. But it was a couple of key plays, a couple of problems on extra points, a couple of failures to convert in the red zone. If Vintage had been able to get something out of all their each one of their trips to the red zone, they might very well have won the game. But I was terrifically impressed with Vintage's comeback in this game after falling behind 28-8 to come back and nearly win it was tremendous.
Well, one thing that I noticed about this Akilanis team, they pride themselves on defense. I thought their defense was very superb. I thought they did a fine job on defense. But the Crushers were still finding ways to advance the football. So, Kent, we're going to start out with you as far as coming up with the players, the game. Let's first look at the visitors. Do you have a selection there from the Dons roster?
Well, you know, on defense, number 51, you mentioned the defense. Alex Cortese just did a great job.
Oh, what a tackler.
Yeah, he's a stud out there. There's no doubt about it. And on offense, for me, it's Nick Kresnak, the quarterback. I think that guy is unbelievable. He's got a great arm. He's got poise.
So much fun to watch that for him.
He sees the field tremendously. And let me tell you, he picked apart the Vintage secondary, Ira. I don't think Vintage will ever see a passing team like Akilanis again this season, but if they do, they're in trouble because they're going to have to clean up that secondary. The secondary was picked apart tonight, no doubt about it. But okay. Kresnak and Cortese were my two players for Akilanis.
Okay. Dino?
I'm going to go for Akilanis. I'm going to go with Delaney. He had 66 yards rushing. He caught 3 passes for 53 yards. He also had a couple nice kickoff returns. Kresnak would be an obvious choice, but I want to recognize as many different players as possible, so I'm going to go with Delaney.
You know, one guy that didn't get into the game that I was hoping would get in, he spells his name Y-A-H-Y-A-Q-T-E-I-S-H-A-T. And I was practicing that name Yaya Kataychek, and he didn't get in the game.
Not enough vowels.
I probably just would have stuck with Yaya. Yeah.
Anyway, I just enjoyed watching Nick Kresnik at the quarterback spot. I thought he nearly doubled his total from his the first game when he had 166 yards in their loss at home against Las Lomas last week. And tonight, as you heard, over 300 yards in that category. So that's who I'm going to go with. Dino, we'll let you start out for the Crunchers. Who are you picking?
Well, I really liked the gutsy performance by Shamkul. He had 68 yards rushing and could have had nearly...
Well, he had a lot of negatives.
He could have had almost 100 yards if he hadn't been subjected to that bad snap that went over his head.
Yeah, that was 19 yards right there.
That was a 19-yard. Aaron, I thought, really came of age in that second half. He ended up with 76-yard passing and a touchdown, 75 yards rushing and two touchdowns. And if this game had gone a few minutes longer, I think he might have had the win because the Crushers just came back brilliantly. So I'm going to go with Aaron for my guy.
Yeah, Kent?
Yeah, that's a good pick. I like Jacob Aaron. I like the way he came back in the second half and just really grew into a quarterback, literally grew into a quarterback. For me, it's an obvious choice. It's Shamkul, even though he played three quarters of the game. The guy on defense is unreal. He doesn't come off the field.
Yep, goes
he's
both
making,
ways.
And he plays middle backer, and he plays from sideline to sideline. That's how quick he is. Mm-hmm. And on offense, he's not the heart and soul, but he's a major factor on that offensive team. And when he went out, that really hurt the Crushers. So for three quarters of the game, he's still my player of the game, Shamkul.
Well, I think it's great having a sophomore come up as the starting quarterback. I remember back when we had a freshman, Charles Hammond, start for the Vintage Crushers, but it's not very often that you find someone that's a freshman or a sophomore as your starting quarterback, and I'm going to go with Aaron. I thought that he was able to handle those plays that were designated for him to keep the ball, and he had some good moves. And his little jukes were really helpful to advancing the football. So I'm going to go the same way as Dino did there. So that's pretty much the story here tonight. Some final comments from Kent Fry.
Well, you know, Vintage is still got to go back, not to the drawing board. They just need to go back and work out these fine point details, Ira. And it's just like the coach said, it's execution and execution. From getting snaps every time, not 80% of the time, but every time, no drop passes, no overthrown passes, and tackling. You know, stay with your man on defense and make the tackle. Players were there in position, but just didn't make the tackle. And then their secondary is going to need buttoning up and tightening up dramatically. There was major holes in that secondary. So the coaches have some evaluation to do and some more work there, but it just comes down to these fine point details of execute, execute, execute.
Well, just a reminder of a couple other scores. Justin Siena, a big win, 61-0 over Healdsburg tonight, while American Canyon dropped one in Sacramento as Intercom, which is a perennial powerhouse, won 69-0, the worst loss ever for American Canyon. This is their ninth year. And the games between Vintage and Akalanis, the freshman game ended in a 6-6 tie. Vintage won the JV game 27-18 to go 2-0. And we just heard the varsity game with Akalanis holding on for that 28-27 win. Vintage will be at Lincoln and Stockton next week. Akalanis will be at Rodriguez going against an MEL team. And we'll be broadcasting tomorrow night the home opener for the Napa High football team. They will go against East Union, the team coming in from Manteca.
Ira, I have a previous scheduled engagement, so I won't be here, but I know my replacement. Go easy on him. He doesn't know football that well. He's a little slow, so you'll have to work with him. But a fellow of Troy Mott will be in the booth with you tomorrow.
We're so happy and fortunate to have Coach Troy Mott join us for the broadcast, sitting in for Kent Fry tomorrow night. And early on, he's going to be down on the field in the pregame portion of the ceremonies, as Jake Croxdale is going to be honored. And Troy's going to be down there to make a presentation to Jake Croxdale, and we'll see about getting Jake Croxdale on the air here.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So it's going to be a good night tomorrow night. So all of you old Blues come out, and let's see some support for the Napa High football team.
Formerly the Indians.
Formerly the Indians.
Oh, and tomorrow morning, the Saturday Sports Line from 9 to 10, I will be hosting, and we'll review some of these games that took place tonight and talk about, you know, it's so great to have the local high school sports back, because the hour will just fly by. We'll talk about the upcoming game tomorrow night with Napa, and it should be fun.
Yeah, and only 1 week to go as far as regular season for the Napa professional baseball team, the Silverados. They have four home games next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, with Friday being the finale of regular season.
The finish to their successful
inaugural
season. Yeah,
so if you have Jacob Grant on with you tomorrow, he'll be happy to talk about some of those aspects.
I bet he will.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much our story. Speaking of the Silverados, they're at Vallejo tomorrow night, and then Sunday they'll be at San Rafael. We'll have that game on the radio. We won't have the game at Vallejo on, because we have football tomorrow night, but we will have Sunday's game on, and we will have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday game on next week as well. And then Friday, as we mentioned, we'll wrap up the season. But we will have football on the air from American Canyon, and the Wolves are going to need a victory. They are 0-2 now for their new coach.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of the new coach, let's hope the coaching staff is staying together after a big, it's easy to get on each other's nerves or blame the defense, blame the offense, or whatever, but that's where the new head coach needs to step in and say, hey, we're going to stick together as a staff and get this team together and pull ourselves together. That's a huge loss they took tonight. So they've got some adversity to come about and overcome, and that's going to be a tough call, but we'll see what the – we're going to see what the new coach and the program's made of next week.
And our congratulations to Coach Floyd Burnstead. This is third year as the coach there, but he's been coaching for a long time, and what a gentleman, and what a great guy. So we wish he and the Dons the best for the balance of the season now. As last year, they won their first six games last year and finished 9-2. Crusher is going to have to pick up now. They finished 7-3 last year, so to beat that record, they're going to have to run the table.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough call, but you know what? I remember being on Coach Franco's staff when we went 0-3, and I remember Coach Franco saying, we're going to run the table, and we did. Mm-hmm. So it can be done.
And our thanks to our engineer back in the studio, Angelo Lyons. You may have heard of him from High School of Fame. He was intern at KVON. Now he's on the staff, and this is his second game to be our engineer. So thanks, Angelo.
Doing a great job, Angelo. Love it.
And that's our story sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. Dino Alessio with the statistics. Kent Fry with the color commentary. I'm Ira C. Smith, reminding you the final in this one in the varsity action. The Ocalani's Dons from Lafayette 28 and the Vintage Crushers of Napa 27.
This has been a KVON Sports presentation.